some help with the setup here.
I'll take care of it, it's all, I just want to take Bob.
Lieutenant Frye or Jeff, if you could help the setup for Mr. Holman.
Bring up my, the first slide area. We're going to go to school tonight, Ms. Mike.
I think,
Hold it like that, just put it down, there you go.
I think council's seen a lot of, but council, if you want to go down, so you can view this, some of us can see it.
I'm fine with it, I know, pretty well got it memorized.
This presentation was normally going to be done by Ms. Myers, but unfortunately this evening, she's on her way to training tomorrow up in northwestern Georgia. As we all know, any trip from here is usually 4 to 5 hours long. Training starts at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. And she was very disappointed in not being here. She has worked very hard on this project. So let me take you through what we've done so far. Some of it's in the write-up that I put on for this evening's meeting as the last item for approval of the concept plan. There have been,
You want to turn it lower so the public probably needs to see it more than we do.
Okay, you're up. This plan initially came out of the St. Mary's Strategic Vision Policy. It was developed by the city in year 2016. It came about through questions asked in a survey and of interviews from people well in excess of 1,700 on what is the most important priority project needed for the city of St. Mary's and downtown St. Mary's. This project came out number one. And it is my understanding, and based on my brief review of the grant that I received with the master visioning plan, that is still high up there on the priority list. There have been numerous meetings with regard to this plan. There have been two charrettes that have been held for public, as well as this plan being available for review at any time in the Downtown Development Authority or the Main Street meeting room, as well as for a week we had it set up at the visitor center for any comments. All those comments and inputs have been received. We received comments from traffic, to questions of congestion, all to be addressed as we work our way through the final 50%. Now we are at the 50% mark of the engineering. We are holding off on the other 50% until we hear whether or not we receive the Section 319 grant. That grant is for stormwater mitigation and other elements. Should we not receive that grant, of course, we shrink this project down a little bit. The project itself goes from Wheeler Street down to Reddy Street, from Osborne and St. Mary Street up to right out front of this building here for stormwater mitigation project. It will include all permeable pavers for all parking areas to help mitigate stormwater runoff from problems that we've been suffering downtown. It will mitigate. Nothing will solve a hurricane. Term is mitigation. It will provide additional green areas, as you can see in here. It will improve seating areas. It will widen sidewalks in this area. It will provide for this compass rose that you see here, or rosette, which is in front of the pavilion. It will improve all the crosswalks, the brick crosswalks, which we've all seen were deteriorating in the street. So we will be repairing the streets as well as repairing all of the crosswalks that they all repaired properly. We will take care of stormwater drainage and various issues. The green areas will be rain gardens. The goal is not to have sprinkler systems in here for water things that are above ground level. The goal is, when it rains, to allow the rain to go into these rain gardens and water them that way. So we use natural processes in this. Permeable pavers, of course, we were hoping to use in the sidewalks in the other area. Working our way out this way, explaining some of the project, you've got to notice the X's in our medians, the brick X's. Some of them not in best condition. We want to get those repaired I'd also, and council would like to, as part of this project, if we can, phase one, have the brick walkway, actually have a walkway come out to those brick axes and a walkway going across. It would be slightly raised, it would be, they would either be brick or look-alike brick, so that you knew where to cross to get to the exit. Right now, when you want to cross over, you have to work things up a step in the middle of the traffic. It's not a great idea. So we are working on that, take care of that. We will do some repairs come up along here on the sidewalks. We're not sure exactly what, there's only so much money available.
You don't look like Dan either.
Let me go quickly. The goal on the north side of the street is to go to 17 to 22 foot wide sidewalks. This will make it much easier for pedestrians walking down the street, much more attractive for them, as well as allow room for dining. So if you want to dine on the sidewalk, you would be able to do that, that would be available. We still are going to have 18 feet of angled parking, two 14 foot travel lanes. We'll also know that bikes are part of those travel lanes and 20 feet angled parking on the south side, along with the existing 10 foot sidewalk. That is the general overall plan along St. Mary's Street. It thins down the sidewalk as you get down toward Ray Street, and of course it thins down as you work your way past here. Let me go to when we say concept plans, what are we looking at as a concept plan? We have the traditional engineering plan or architectural plan, they were pretty. But what we're also looking at is what type of features, features are we going to use for our downtown area? So that we can identify as our downtown area, and it provides us something that we're proud of and our visitors are proud of when they come to see. Based on all of the work that we did, these trash cans down here will trash and recycle. Trash cans should not be standing on their own. There should be a trash can with a recycling can next to it. To have just a trash can, this doesn't make any sense. All you do is get piled up with recycling and trash. They should be separated out. These allow for the trash to go in, recycling, these little tops here, they keep the rainwater from getting in. Makes it a little easier for us to manage and take care of them. That's one of the reasons we like these. These were also selected by the public as one of the best. The other one was the black one here. This is actually the most expensive one. That's the lowest value one. This is the medium one. And we actually like this one. Bobby likes this one. So, we went into benches. The benches, we turned out, everybody liked the traditional bench that we had been using. The only difference with this is we would like to go with what's called a plastic wood as opposed to wood to minimize our maintenance. This makes them last a lot longer. The light standards, the current light standards we're using that we put in the historic walk, we'll be using those same light standards throughout this project, or as we move more and more in the downtown, these are what we'll use. This is currently what you can see out there. There's an old trash container, and I put those inside of the old metal trash cans. Now, I remember these metal trash cans from when I was little. I used to carry them out from the back of the house to the front of the house, and if I forgot, I was in trouble the next day. But we all had that. So, conceptually, we're proving these so that when we go out to purchase, we know what we're buying, and what we're buying will identify the downtown. We'll switch over to Tom for this one. I have 10 or 15 minutes, so I'm going to be careful. This is what our walkways look like now. As a matter of fact, they're in a little worse condition because we use a little bit of asphalt. I think the salt patch we're using to repair these because the bricks are falling apart. So we are working to repair. This is an important element of our project. This is what they look like when we are finished. And you can see some elements in this, which are the rain gardens on either side down here, the sidewalk looks here, cars coming down, These would be slightly raised, but they actually help slow down traffic. That's one of our goals.
Okay.
Now we can go into this. One of the questions raised about the downtown is there's nowhere to put water in our downtown. We don't allow swimming in the river, there are obvious reasons for that. We don't have any ponds to go into or anything else, so there's a splash pad that's proposed. And let me explain, this is proposed for this area with iron bollards in front of the pavilion. The splash pad can be turned off when events occur, so it's a dual-use function. These bollards here are actually iron bollards with lights to protect anyone that's using the splash pad. We had questions about pedestrian safety, which we are addressing. The engineer is looking at whether or not a three-way stop there is warranted. It's already a stop on Osborne, whether or not a stop sign on St. Mary's would be warranted, we'll understand for DDOT. We continue to work on that as part of our 50% program. Tom, let's give it a fun start. I know, you're doing great.
You're such a expert.
Okay, you're making great easel, by the way.
Congratulations.
Everyone talks about rain guards and wondering, what is a rain guard? Okay, simply put, there are plantings, there are gardens, they are lower than, as opposed to traditional, lower than the surrounding area, so stormwater can run into them. Additionally, these are usually built up above the curb level, and you're putting in a sprinkler system to take care of them. We don't want to do that. We believe that this would be a much better way to take care of the facilities and be more environmentally friendly downtown. This is part of the Section 319 grant. It helps us move forward with this. These are just different examples. They aren't really planted anywhere down here. You might see something like this or this in front of the city hall instead of 20 feet of concrete straight out of the curb. Certainly much more attractive than what we currently have. As a matter of fact, the area out front of city hall is one of the, is the main driver for the grant. They really enjoy that section when we talk to them. Okay, we put this down. When we first started this project quite some time ago, we were asked to identify if there's alternative funding sources. In other words, how do we stretch the city dollars? For every dollar we put in, can we get a dollar back from somewhere else? If the Section 319 grant is awarded, and I have to say I'm very positive about that grant, usually I'm more on the 10 to 20% award side, I'm much more positive about the award of this grant. Using the Section 319 grant monies and the LMIG, Local Municipal Improvement Grant that we received, the city, for every dollar we put in, will get about $1.25 to $1.40 back. So we are more than doubling our investment. The estimated cost of this project, and this is phase one, there's more to downtown, but this is phase one, is approximately $1.4 million. We have $600,000 reserved for this project in the general fund for matching. I have $50,000 reserved in the solid waste fund to help with the trash and recycling containers that we have to put into the system. This is all to be presented to council during the budgeting process. And it has been part of the long-term capital plan that we've been working on. As you've seen downtown, we've already done some work. The signs have been improved in the park. You will see the tide clock going in shortly by the DDA. We are working on trying to improve the looks of where some of those trash containers are. You know, like we've improved work down at the Gateway Center, the pathway that's going in now. So work is already being undertaken from this downtown St. Mary's book. So for those people that keep saying we just do these plans and we don't do work, I gotta say, my staff and the council have been working hard to see that these don't sit on a shelf and that these plans are made part of the downtown. Now, we have received numerous comments, mostly positive. There's been some excellent comments with regard to traffic control and deliveries that we are working on. But as I say, that's part of the next area. The purpose of this is simply to approve the concept. We are not asking for any dollars at this point. We are just saying, is this concept okay? And in your packet for later in the meeting, you have a recommendation from the Downtown Development Authority requesting approval of the concept plan, and then we will move forward with the next 50%. And of course, council would be kept informed as long as what the public every step of the way as we work our way through this project. Are there any questions?
Well, what I would suggest is, why don't we wait until we go to the topic during the council meeting, and granting audience to the public, people can ask questions in advance. But I think we should talk about it during that time. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Keep you on top. All right. So I think this is...
Yes. Mr. Mayor, Ms. Walker-Reed asked me to tell you that the main system has failed, so she's using the backup system. I'm not sure what the ramifications of that are.
It switches the cameras. I just wanted the mayor to know what is now focused at the audience.
All right, y'all.
TV.
Thank you. We need to make sure public's aware of that. All right. So I think one of the things we can discuss during this is also this came first in this whole master plan process with Main Street and the visioning. But the entire process will also require funding over time, and one of the things that's clear is the master plan committee is making sure that we're paying attention to the fact that funding needs to happen for all of the master planning process, and so we're going to have to figure out how do we manage that. And but we're very aware of this. I've seen the rain garden concept at Richmond Hill. It's a very attractive, very interesting process. So we look forward to everybody continuing to ask questions. Is it on the main, it's on the site?
This has been on the website for quite some time.
But under, okay, how do they find it?
At least it's on the DBA, but I have to look at it myself to double check it. I will double check it in the morning.
Downtown Development Authority's portion of the website.
Yes, but okay. I will double check it in the morning.
All right, they can always call if you've got questions. All right. All right, thank you, John. Let's see, Ms. Peruski, you wanted to direct this next.
Oh, yes, I wanted to provide clarification for council and for the audience relative to the board appointment that is listed here. We are participants in the joint comprehensive plan. The process is actually managed by the county through NCRC, and Jeff is our official representative on that committee already. I am on the committee, and Joe Holler is on the committee. We are three who have been involved with the master planning process initially. Because we do not own the committee per se, I'm recommending that we do not actually vote on the candidates that have shown interest in this, but that we turn them over to Jeff, is our primary contact person. He can look them over and see if they add value to the process, and then if he feels they add value, he would recommend to CRC that they receive an invitation to the next meeting, because we've already had two meetings. So that is just a formality, since we are not owners of the actual process, that we probably should not be voting on this, but rather referring it to Jeff, who is our contact person, and he can see how the candidates fit in and then request from CRC as appropriate to invite them to come to the next meetings.
All right.
Do we need a motion?
Council?
I'm good with that.
I don't think we're good with that.
Well, there would be no motion. Council, of course, cannot delegate its legislative powers to myself, nor to Jeff, or other items. So in this case, you're not appointing a committee, it's more of a workforce to assist Jeff with taking our master visioning plan that we have put together over the past 18 months.
It's getting close.
And implementing that and placing that within the joint comprehensive plan.
It's similar to the workforce structure that you're...
Same workforce that we're doing with Orange Park, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm okay with it, but it's council.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff? Thank you.
It's not a motion.
All right.
Can we just have a motion that Jeff Adams just, that he created, that they have a workforce?
Say it the way you want.
All right. If we could have, if the community development director shall select his...
Committee?
Workforce.
Will form the workforce.
Will form his workforce, yes, to assist him in implementing the master visioning plan and the joint comprehensive.
Mr. Mayor, I make that motion.
All right, Mr. Riley, and how about a second?
Second.
Mr. Grassi, and any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Madam Clerk, that's unanimous. Thank you for keeping us on track. Dave, for the microphone.
No problem.
Now, let's move on to setting the consent agenda. And so we have no old business, and to start out with new business, item A, discuss. Item B, joint agreement automatic aid.
Consent.
Item C, St. Mary's Road landscaping bid.
I'd like to review that just a bit.
I thought you might. Item D.
Consent.
Consent. Item E.
Consent.
Item F.
Consent.
Mr. Black. Item G.
Consent.
Item H, budget ordinance on general fund.
Discuss.
Oh, you want to ask a question?
I've got a question.
Item I, general fund budget gateway.
We've already approved that, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's consent.
We did the contract, but unfortunately, we missed doing the budget ordinance, so we have to...
Well, so...
Consent.
Item J, water sewer aid construction fee.
We have a problem with that being a consent item.
Yeah, likewise.
We wanted to say something to the public, so I understand what we're trying to do, be competitive.
I believe what we're doing, the council has asked us to look for ways to try and increase development opportunities in the community. The ordinance requires a 5% increase automatic each year. Council, the staff is just asking that we not be required to provide that 5%, and this year, we'll be able to come back to council with some further recommendations.
Keeps us competitive in the neighborhood, folks.
Yeah, that's a consent or a consent.
All right, thank you. Georgia Department of Transportation, LeMay.
Consent.
And downtown improvement project sidewalk highway renovation.
Discuss.
I've got a couple of questions on that.
Yeah, discuss.
Okay, so our consent agenda consists of new business item, D as in boy, D as in David, E as in Edward, F as in Frank, G as in George, I as in Ignacio, J as in John, K as in Karen.
Is that an...
Have a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Gantz, and a second by Mr. Riley. Any further comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Madam Clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
And now, based on that...
Move to approve the new agenda as adopted, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Williams, and a second by Mr. Riley. I asked a question based on the discussion during the work session, item A. We understand that that item is remaining in place. All right, thank you. Any other discussion, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Madam Clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
And the system is still functioning?
Yes, we want that.
All right, because audience to come up. And if you would, granting audience to the public, as you know, we ask you to come up, limit your comments to 5 minutes, and name and address. And I know a number of you, if you'd like to speak, you may want to queue on the side over here, just if you want to talk, but whoever gets to the podium first, Alex, gets to go first. Okay. Thank you, but as I said, based on the discussions, I would like to limit this to 1 hour if it looks like it's becoming lengthy, but we leave that to you. All right, thank you, Matt.
Alex Springs, 902 Anthony. Want to start off and say, I was at work in Orange Hall today, and I got to say, those church bells were amazing. Was that Our Lady Star Mercy?
Yes.
That was beautiful. Yeah. And it's like the icing on the cake downtown. Want to remind everybody about Saturday's annual River Cleanup and celebration at White Oak. I know that some of you are engaged in the
Kiwanis. Well, that's
changed.
So that's
that off. We moved to next Saturday.
It's up to the 29th, so you'd have
you got more volunteers coming.
Yeah, you got it.
We're going to have a really good turnout with our Navy. They have said, though, that they don't want to get wet. So anyone who wants to bring their waders and tackle, the mess along, the ditches along Bartlett, waders and
waders. How did you do that last year, Alex? I mean, that you had that, didn't you do it the week before?
The Navy guys and the women are going out on Friday.
Okay.
That's at 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock Saturday morning. And White Oak has extended their hours for the celebration, so nobody is going to go to a hundred. To the Cumberland Island thing, I think as most of you know, I have been involved in this now, working almost on a full-time basis for 6 months. So this is not something that just kind of jumped out of the woodwork. Mayor Morrissey mentioned the seismic air gun testing proclamation and the time that it took to do that. In that case, we did have time. In this case, we do not. My understanding is that we are facing a matter of weeks before the decision has been made. It will then go through the formal, you know, before the public and everything else. It might be massaged, but the pivotal time for St. Mary's to have their voice heard is now. I understand the trepidations of those flatly opposing and appreciate, you know, perhaps words of deep concern and expressing those concerns. The plans for downtown St. Mary's are extraordinary, but how sad it would be if few people got to see them. I know Riverview Hotel, their occupancy is based 90% on people who go to Cumberland Island. We have business owners right now downtown who are tremendously worried about their livelihoods. And I think that voicing concern would go a long way to let the citizens know that you are aware of this, you do hear, and you do share our concerns. My understanding, again, is if we get very, very lucky, we will be looking at a 1 unit per 25 acres density. That's still 40 houses. We went into this opposing 10 houses, and now we're up to 40. And that's if we get very lucky. And I think you've all seen the map. This is not 40 houses dotted around in the bend. This is right in the heart of the visitor experience. It will have an impact. We need to also keep in mind that this is a national seashore, and it is an international biosphere reserve. So this isn't just, they said they just want to hear, the commissioners just want to hear from Camden County. They are hearing from Germany. They are hearing from England. They are hearing from Atlanta and California. This is far, far bigger than just a little local issue. And it does have the potential to damage our reputation. St. Mary's will be weighed and measured now and in posterity by how we react to this. So I ask you, please, consider making a statement sooner rather than later.
Okay. Yeah, who's next, please?
Larry White, Mountain Facilities Co. I've got three items. First of all, my wife and I visited Nina Pinta twice this past weekend, once by ourselves and once with our grandchildren. It was a good educational for our grandkids, it was good for all the kids. Hopefully it'll come back again sometime.
A little different than submarine, isn't it?
The second item is the senior center is having a senior prom, a real senior prom coming up next month on the 4th of May. As a matter of fact, Mr. Massetti has a flyer about the senior prom. This is the 12th of May, which is a Friday. It's for all seniors, not just St. Mary's seniors, but all seniors of Camden County that are 55 and older. Make reservations. You do it online. I don't have the address online, but if you post it out here, it'll help. The next way is to call its phone number, area code 803-292-9344. And I have a big audience out here. I'm sure they look like they meet the requirements. Call and make reservations. Unfortunately, we are limited in a number of people because of the budget that we have. But thanks to the hospital authority, they're the ones that sponsored the senior prom. They do that every year. So this year, we'll plan to have a good party. Matter of fact, there's a chart of the entertainment, and if you don't like it, blame him.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And again, the time for the prom is from 6 to 9 p.m. on the 12th of May. The last thing I want to talk about, I'm just going to talk briefly about the Cumberland Island. Somebody on the council mentioned that there was 17,000 people in St. Mary's, and not all 17,000 contacted the city council. But again, it's inconvenient for 17,000 people to show up at the county commissioner's office meeting and have public notice talk about their position on Cumberland Island. I think it's behooving the city council not to wait until a final decision is made by the county commission to make a stance for the city of St. Mary's. I am familiar with local politics. I've been involved with it up in South Carolina when I lived up there. And I'll tell you right now that the decision's already been made by the city, by the county commission, as to what they're going to do. And I'm afraid that they're going to do the rezoning. So I would think it would be beneficial for the city council not necessarily to say yay or nay right now, but at least give them a letter to the county commission saying we're concerned about what is going on. Because it doesn't affect the only city in the Camden County that affects directly St. Mary's. So I think you ought to think about that.
Thank you. Who's next?
Sam Caldwell, 210 Overlook Lane. First of all, when Ms. Borowski was reading the proclamation for the Nurses Week, I thought, wonder why we don't ever have a Lawyers Week in progress.
You want us to really tell you?
You ain't have that much time. I could probably just sit down because I think everyone that has spoken before and probably will be speaking after me is largely in accord on this. I'm not here to advocate for the proclamation that is written, as it now is written, and I do agree that up or down vote at this point, with information still outstanding that you need to consider, would be premature. But I do think that recognition must be given to the fact that of the four governmental entities in Camden County, St. Mary's, the city of St. Mary's, has a unique interest in Cumberland Island. And so far as I can determine, the county has not given any recognition to our unique interest in this. And so I do advocate for an expression of concern. I do hope the people that are here and are concerned about this will go to the city, to the county meeting whenever it's scheduled, but I don't think that suffices. I believe there needs to be a formal expression of opinion from the city of St. Mary, and that I would encourage you to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and ladies and gentlemen of the council. My name is Bill Bruce. I live at 304 Charleston Way in St. Mary's in County Kansas. I would like to speak to you briefly about, also about Cumberland Ave. First, let's disclose what my connection is with it. I filed the initial appeal of granting the variance to Lumar LLC for their 87 acres, that's the Candler family of Atlanta. It looked like perhaps nobody else was going to file. Because of that, I have been given a theoretical seat at the table in connection with the negotiations that have been going on with Cumberland. I have to say that that has been pretty theoretical. I have filed twice with the county there in writing my position on what the zoning should be if there is to be a rezoning. And that is that the zoning uses to be permitted from the private property on Cumberland Island ought to be uses consistent with the mission statement developed by the National Park Service for Cumberland Island. And that would, in effect, be no residential development. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment, though, about property rights and how property rights get tied into this. And I'd like to start out by pointing out that every one of us in this room is subject to zoning requirements. They apply to whatever classification we're in uniformly with those of us who are in that classification. The classification that presently exists for Cumberland Island, the private property, is conservation called conservation preservation. The important thing is it does not permit residential zoning. So in terms of thinking of what are the property rights here that are being involved, they are the rights of individuals and groups or families that own property on Cumberland Island that are subject to present zoning that doesn't permit residential development. Now, my hope is that if there's a change, it ought to be, as I described, a zoning consistent with the mission of the National Park Service for Cumberland Island. Otherwise, that it ought to stay what it is. Now, the Alex mentioned that there was a density requirement being discussed, might permit 40 houses over on that island. What I've heard, frankly, goes beyond that. But let's just consider, if there are 40 houses on this Cumberland Island, what that means in terms of that primitive, pristine place. 40 construction developments and the chaos that goes with it. 40 new septic systems. 40 arrangements for trash disposal. 40 arrangements for emergency services, 40, much beyond 40, permits for driving on the beach, which are not issued by the National Park Service, not issued by the county, but are issued by DNR, whose regulations presently say that any owner or family member or spouse or tenant is entitled to a permit to drive on the beach, and you're going to be up in that potential by 40, 50, 60, whatever change might be made by the county. The statement is made by these present property owners that they are only doing this to permit some development to allow their family to have places on Cumberland Island. Well, think, please, down the road, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and that the pressures that they develop by their children, by their grandchildren, and what's going to happen, not just to a restriction to these families. Those families, incidentally, are the Candler family from Atlanta, the Rockefeller family, the Carnegie family, the Ferguson family. The Ferguson family, I believe, being the only ones who could claim to be residents of Camden County. All the others visit us at their pleasure for their convenience. Now, what have these property owners got right now? They have got land that has been restricted, and that restriction has been satisfactory for the last 20 years of the zoning, which is in place, quite 20, but about 15. It has been satisfactory for longer periods of that, where these property owners have been good stewards and have made no attempt to have further development of that island. Now, what have they gotten in exchange for not having development? I'll be through by that time, Mr. Mayor, and thank you. They've had virtually zero property taxes. The Lumar Group, Candler Group, pays $1,999 and some cents per year for their 87 acres, for which they paid in 1998 $3.5 million. What justifies that? What justifies that is that they are limited in what they can do by the zoning. That means it's like having a conservation easement against that property. They have gotten a direct benefit in terms of the lack of taxes that they have paid. And in exchange for that, they've got pristine property, which I submit they ought to and ought to be required to keep pristine. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
And one final thought. Whatever the council might do or not do, could I ask each of you as individuals, please, to express yourself? Councilman Williams, you were wonderfully expressive in the letter you wrote to the newspaper. I would hope that other of you would think in the same type terms, and I would appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce.
Thank
you. Yes, sir.
Hey, Torgerson. I live at 1100 Dillard. I'll try to be brief. My wife and I have worked on Cumberland Island as volunteers the last 12 years, and you've been talking the number of people that visit so much. My wife and I see the faces of these people. We work on the island, not every day, but every few days. We do tours. We just recently were doing censuses out there of people that have been using the islands. 2 months ago, or a month ago, we took every fourth grader in the county to the island for an educational orientation on the wildlife. I guess what I'm saying is we see the people that come out on the boat and walk around, and basically these people come for the experience, come for the wildlife experience, but lately what we've been getting is, what's going on? What's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen to the island? These are people that come from far and wide. I mean, just backing up a second, several years ago, I did a census at the request. We don't work with the Park Service, but we handle their museum. They asked me to do a census, and I reviewed their the museum. They keep a log of people coming in there. I counted people from 38 states. I don't know if you realize it, you know, how widespread this island is known. And let's see, 8, 9 foreign countries from Asia, from Eastern Europe, from Europe, from Canada, England, so forth. So, you know, the place is known worldwide, so to speak. People from the state of Washington, Maine, and just about anywhere you can think of. But basically what I'm saying is, excuse me, the people, the visitors that are coming out there, I mean, obviously they read the papers and they hear the news, they say, what's going to happen out here? You know, what are you going to do? What's housing development or what? I mean, so sooner or later, somebody's got to come up with an answer to give these people. And as far as any kind of resolution, I would support any kind of sense of the community passing this on to the county commissioners, at least to let us, let them know where we stand on this thing. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes.
Mayor Morrissey, city council members, my name is Bill Sapp. I'm with the Southern Environmental Law Center. And here representing myself, actually, because I want to only speak for myself tonight. And I want to make three points. One is that if you pass this proclamation, you aren't necessarily saying no development on Cumberland Island. I think what you're saying is, and each of you can read it in your own way, but I think what you're saying, no development that would violate the cultural, and I'm paraphrasing, the cultural and natural integrity of the island. I mean, if you put one house out there, it isn't necessarily going to destroy the cultural and natural integrity of the island. The question then is, where do you cross that line? And if you look at typical zoning, I mean, you could go from one structure per acre all the way up to 1 to 25, 1 to 40. I mean, we have looked at the what has happened in other inholdings. And this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with private land that is within the bounds of a national park or national seashore. And what we have seen in places like Yosemite and many of the other national parks you're familiar with, that those inholdings are treated differently than rural land in Camden County or elsewhere. And because of that, they have densities that are much different than you would see in other places. In many of the places we researched, it's one structure for 40 acres. In others, it's one for 35 acres. And in this case, maybe one structure for 25 acres would still fall within the confines of this language with respect to property owners' rights out there, but also, you know, protect what is so special about Cumberland Island. And that's what we're still trying to figure out. I mean, we have been in discussions with LUMAR. The county wanted us to get together and try to move forward towards an agreement. We're trying to see if we can work something out. I mean, when you talk about litigators and litigation, you end up in litigation, either both the attorneys have messed up or one has been recalcitrant. And what we're trying to do now is avoid any further litigation, keep the discussions going. And I think the county should be commended for trying to get the parties together. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we don't end up in a situation where the county moves forward on a rapid pace and ends up making an irresponsible decision that's going to affect St. Mary's and other communities within Camden County. So again, you know, looking at this language, you're not saying that no house, at least under my interpretation, that no house can be built out on Cumberland Island. What you're saying is that you're concerned about where this all is headed. You don't have enough information, and that's what this proclamation is all about. And if you don't have, you know, if you're not convinced at the end of this meeting, table it until you are convinced. But if you've got, if you desire to pass this thing tonight, tonight is where it can really help. It can send a message to the county. It's just saying, look, we're concerned about this, and we want you to make a responsible decision, whatever that is. You know, Cumberland Island means a lot to this community. And so, that's all I have to say.
All right. I got one quick question.
Yeah.
Timing. You
because you're in the negotiations, nobody really knows about the timing, but do we have the luxury of tabling this and getting more?
Well, the question ought to be, what is the timetable?
Yes.
The time, originally the county said, told us that we would, sorry, negotiate until June 1st, and then they would move forward with a, you know, with a process.
So June 1st is kind of a drop dead.
Well, but lately we've heard other, I mean, if the county moved forward and did everything they needed to do to get a zoning, a rezoning passed, they could have it done by early June. So, I mean, and also, the thing I hope you all will think about is, the sooner you get this proclamation out, the more effective it's gonna be. Because as one gentleman said, the county, you know, the Board of Commissioners has made their minds up, and that may be true, but they also can change their minds. But they need to have this sort of support for changing their minds. Because you may have somebody on the Board of Commissioners, and you all, you know, are in that situation too, where you wanna do the right thing, but if there's no support for you to do the right thing, then it becomes more complicated. So the idea here is pass the proclamation, and then give them the time to really think about what they're doing. Thanks very much.
Mr. Sepp, could you please give us your address for our records?
Yes. I'm a northerner, I live up in Decatur, Georgia, and my address is 1564 Country Squire Court, Decatur.
Thank you.
30033.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name's Anna Gunn, and I live 208 Bartlett Street, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm probably not as good at public speaking as the rest, so you have to take that into account. But I am urging the city to make a proclamation, some proclamation of concern, because if you stand silent on this issue, you will be judged by this town, by your constituents, by your children, possibly your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, if you stay silent and do not take some sort of stand on this. Because this issue, I still see bigger, is bigger than any issue that I perceive you've dealt with. It's bigger than the loss of the mill, it's bigger than the sewer bond issue, it's bigger than the mill rezoning issue, and it's bigger than the master plans and trash cans. And because here is the battleground, here is the floodplain, here is the beachhead for the fight for the environment. And this has implications, therefore, implications for the health and the wealth of this city. It has implications for this county, for this state, and for this nation. So I think you need to decide what side of history do you want to be on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anna.
All right, who's next?
Dave Schmidt, I'm going to circle up in the shower. There are a whole bunch of stuff, so if you're going to take notes, you got to. With respect to the streetscape, I would just like to say that I was impressed with the invitation that the city got, the residents got, to come down to the meeting room over there and have input on what was going to happen in downtown. I was mortified. The only thing, so I talked my wife into coming. She doesn't usually come down here because she doesn't want to be there when I make an ass out of myself. But I was mortified that she got a chance to vote for park benches and trash cans, and the rest of it's all OBE. I did have a question about putting a splash pad in the intersection, but it looks to me like we've got that all blocked off. With respect to the rain gardens, if the rain gardens are going to be below street level, then watered by the runoff, then the same situation will happen downtown that happens on any highway when it rains, and that's all the crap that's on the ground is going to end up watering the plants. A lot of that's leaking oil valve, oil pans, and so forth. The number 17,000 for the population of the city came up. So I did a quick count in the room, and I got 34 the first time and 40 the second time. That equates to 0.23% of the population of St. Mary's. Somewhere somebody said that you got 1,700 inputs, replies to the survey. That's 1% city's population. So typically, you get nobody participating, but everybody standing back and pitching. Sorry. And I'm probably looking at this in an oversimplified manner, but it seems to me like if we're going to spend $1.4 million on this project, and I didn't realize that it came all the way up to city, so my number, my mining stuff is a little different, but it looked to me like the only benefactor is going to be the Riverview Hotel / Seals, the Southern Museum, whatever they call the college building now, and Riverside Cafe. And my original list had George Power to it, and up there. All right, winding point number two. You're asking us to trust you, trust the city to do what's best for us. And I'm not convinced that you're really in it to do that. And I cite my example would be the airport. The airport dragged on forever and then forever some more. And when the final decision to close the airport got made, the citizens didn't get one spit of input to it. If you're going to tell me that the citizens approved it all, I would go back to asking you to reproduce the thing to put on the ballot, the resolution to put on the ballot that said you could look into it. It didn't say anything about closing. I would ask you to not push this issue out until it gets overtaken by events. This issue being coming highly, of course. And somebody threw out Jekyll Island, and I'm sure that's true, but I had the pleasure of living in Charleston in the late 60s. And a shipmate of mine lived out on Isle of Ponce, and they lived in a shack. And some of the other sailors that worked in the engine room had high-class places, which were a series of shacks. And my wife is a very crafty person, and we spent a lot of time to cut up driftwood and riding around in Lake Moultrie and Lake Marion looking for stuff for her to use in her arrangements. And Dan didn't go out to Isle of Ponce and see really cool things called sea arts. So I came back with a handful because she picked them and I was carrying them.
Ouch.
And my friend said, you can get jail time for each one of those seals. Well, we went back to Charleston years later in the 90s, and the dunes you couldn't even walk on had been replaced by buildings that were on pillars that were built by people that had lots of money, and they built them so they could rent them out. And the dunes were gone. And if you think for a second that if they open the door to Cumberland Island for this development, that that's not going to happen out there, then you need to put your request into the state to get a license to smoke stuff, because it's crazy. All right, two more things. I think it would be really beneficial, and you heard me say that, if we just took some of Bobby's folks and went around and straightened the freaking signs throughout St. Mary's. It's way easier to count the straight ones than it is the crooked ones. And I think it sends a message to anybody coming to our town when they see all these half-leaned-over, crappy-looking signs, that we don't care. I was going to try to come up with some example, like if the mayor's sitting there with a prototype on like he is now, he looks pretty spiffy. But most people probably wouldn't think anything of it. But if his tie was crooked and his shirt was buttoned wrong, they'd certainly notice that. Not a very good example, but anyway. All right, last thing, Highway 40 and St. Mary's Road. The palm trees were going like crazy when we were watering. I'm not sure how many cropped out and run out. I think it's somewhere between 4 and 6. And I think those things cost us a lot of money. And it's sad to see that some of them are dying. And I can only suspect that it's from lack of attention. Thank you.
Thank you.
The whole thing on Cumberland Island, as far as I can remember, started out with 87 acres, but we're up to 1,000.
Who's next?
I'm going to speak. I don't know if you referred to Ricky and I in any of that day, but thank you. Dick Russell, 93 Wright Street. I won't try not to take too much of your time. You know what I think of Cumberland Island. I've lived here 30 years, and I haven't been out there for a few years because I don't feel like walking across the island anymore. I guess it's one of the things about getting old. But my kids visit, and every time they come, they go to Cumberland Island. My grandkids are now picking that up. Every visitor that comes to see me, if they don't know about Cumberland Island, I tell them. I think you've all been there. And then where else can you get off the boat, walk through a path, through natural trees and bushes, see a few animals, but walk out onto a pristine virgin beach, see the Atlantic Ocean in front of you, look to your left, look to your right, turn around and look behind you, and you don't see one star that mankind is putting on this earth right now. It is the last place left. Now, a proclamation came up before you tonight, and it sounds to me like it might have startled some of you and frightened some of you. You have all been on this council for a number of years, some of you not very long, and some of you for quite a long time. I'm proud to say that I voted for every single one of you because I had to apologize to Alan because I didn't have much choice with Alan, but I would have voted for him anyway. But like a lot of people, like the majority of people in this town, we looked out among the candidates and we said, we think you are the ones that we'll put in there because you can do the job that needs to be done and you can stand up for us. You've got a proclamation before you. And as the mayor said, and I think he's a little nervous about this, but as the mayor said, it is an up and down vote. Sometimes when you make the choice like you did to go into politics, the rubber hits the road. Sometimes it's no longer, you're no longer able to tiptoe down the middle of the road anymore. Sometimes you have got to take a stand. And this is a stand. Now, the county commission, I talked to, I think, 3 of them now. They're trying to do what they think is best. I may not agree with them, but they're trying. But they don't know what you think, what we think as a city, because nobody's told them. And they said, oh, it won't affect St. Mary's. Oh, I haven't heard from St. Mary's, they've heard from me, but they haven't heard from the city. This is the most important thing you can do, is tell them that you're concerned, because it affects us, it affects our future, it affects our children, and as Anna said, it affects the whole world. So I'm asking you to make that up or down vote, and either vote that you're for the city of St. Mary's, or you're for developing Cumberland Island. Thank you.
the proclamation that we have permitted today regarding Cumberland Island. I want to make it very clear, I am not in favor of residential development on Cumberland Island. I'm not in favor of a compromise on that position either. That the people that purchased that property in 1998, there's a lot of, I won't say misinformation, but from the absence of fact, you'd be hard pressed to find somebody giving you a factual answer. How was that zoned when they purchased that property? Some people say, well, I think it was agricultural. That's the most factual response I've gotten. In 2002, it was rezoned as CP. I think the owners of the property at that time had the opportunity to speak up and say, wait a minute, that's impacting me. However, it impacts them. They either chose not to do that or not make it very well. During the meeting on the variance, and excuse me for not sort of getting the name right, but one of the key people in that discussion, I believe his name was Morris, but he had a history on establishing Cumberland Island, and he spoke, maybe not officially, but he spoke on behalf of Chandler, saying, well, when they purchased that property in 1998, they had no designs to develop that property, but things changed. And I think that's what we're talking about today. Things changed. And these people who now want to develop the property, they have a single design. But 10 years from now, 20 years, another generation or two, there may be other designs. So let me get up here. What I'm really here to talk about and to bring us back to the agenda item. The proclamation that you're asked to vote on, I think, and as many people in the audience and as you have said, needs to represent St. Mary's. And I don't think that it represents the true concerns that some of you have mentioned, one of them being the financial consequences. Who knows what they are? There's a lot of speculation of what that will be. We don't even know if the development of those houses and the transportation will even go through St. Mary's. I mean, there's plenty of other places up near Brunswick that the ferries will go back and forth. You may not see any of that logistics of those people going back for St. Mary's. How will it impact the visitors? I hopefully there's people out there smarter than me that can tell you that number. So, in summary, I'd like to say that I think the proclamation is you have in front of you right now. If approved, silence each and every one of you from that point on to the city, to the commissioners. It no longer allows you to voice new information, your constituents' information, because as a group, you go online and say yay or nay. You're no longer constituents as an individual, as a councilor. I think you need to keep that option open until you have more information. I think you need to represent us as individual council members. Attend tomorrow night's meeting. Speak if you choose. But signing the proclamation as it stands right now is premature. I would agree that if you can document the consequences, what you, your best collection of information, what do you think the consequences are or would be to St. Mary's from a business standpoint, tourists coming through there and what have you. I think that that should be represented or sent to the councilman or the commissioners saying, if you allow development there through a resident, through rezoning, we are fearful that these are the specific consequences to St. Mary's. But to represent an emotional level alone, I don't think this is a good idea because it will affect the turtles or affect the loons or affect the sea camp. And by the way, I think it will have an effect on all of those things. But that's individuals' opinions. There's not enough factual information that I know of that's been presented on their case, and that should not be you as a council taking that position. Voice your opinions based on your individual opinion. Your constituents, represent them on an individual basis. And if you can assemble a proclamation that really represents St. Mary's and how it impacts St. Mary's as a city, then I think you should go forward with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Who's next? All right, thank you very much. All right, so the first item of business on our new business is the discussion regarding the Cumberland Island proclamation. We had a work session prior to this, I think many of you were there, and there were pros and cons and just overall discussion. So, Councilman Nutter, you started, you put the proclamation on the agenda, you heard your discussion, and I think we need to understand what you would like to do.
Well, let's let the folks slip out here. Well, first off, I move that this council consider and approve this proclamation. I am open to some suggestions from the audience that said we're replace the word stand opposed to any rezoning, the last line, to strongly concerned regarding the rezoning. I think this needs to then, well, I'm getting pretty far afield here for a motion. I move that we approve this proclamation, considering some amendments.
Mr. Nutter, made the motion, I have a second.
A second for this discussion.
Mr. Cannon, you started. All right, Bob, you led off with the motion. I think you've spoken. Do you want to speak again?
I do. Because I think there's been a lot of good comments made by the citizens. I think that also, that we need to act. I know I've heard a lot of talk about we're premature. Then I reflect back on the seismic air gun testing. That was another issue that I brought to this council. And I brought it in February or March of 1 year, and it was finally voted upon in the December. So it was about 8 or 9 months, 10 months after it was made. We don't have that kind of time this time. I also don't think, in deference to what Mr. Canning just said, we don't have in-depth information on pros and cons right now. I don't see a viable way of getting that information. We did hear that from one of the citizens that made the comment, again, this is unverified, that the Riverside Hotel relies 90% of their bookings are people who travel to Cumberland Island. I don't have that same information for the Spencer House or the Good Bread House or Emma's. I don't have that information, but I would submit to you that if even halfway true, then it would be a waterfall effect on the other B&Bs. The 60,000 visitors a year. Again, I can go through a number to distill that down to a daily number of people based on a calendar year where the park's closed for 2 days out of the year, that there are roughly 100 to 150 visitors each day go to Cumberland Island. If only 25% of those people shop in our stores or stay in our hotels, you're talking 25 to 40 or 50 people. Can our businesses sustain a loss of revenue from 40 customers a day? I don't think so. So this is a pivotal issue for St. Mary's. So in recognizing maybe my verbiage was a bit strong, to make it more palatable for the remainder of the council, again, in the now therefore paragraph, it is hereby proclaimed that the city of St. Mary's, Georgia, is strongly concerned regarding the rezoning of the land on Cumberland Island that would permit construction or development. But I think it's time to sign that and forward it to the county commissioners so that they know where the city of St. Mary's stands on this issue. I'll give up the floor.
I'd like to make a statement, and that I'm concerned that we're not unanimous on whatever we do. I think if we vote it down or we send a mixed signal to the county, we've done nothing. I think we're all concerned. We all have a concern. I mean, we love the island. Every one of us love the island. We understand the importance of the island to St. Mary's, Georgia. But what we need to do is craft a resolution that we all can stand behind. We've got to do it unanimously. We can't vote it down or you know, it sends a terrible signal. It sends a terrible signal. And right now, I think we're split. And we don't want to be split. We've got to be together.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to follow up with Mr.
Are you okay, Ms.?
No. I think we need to table this. We need to table it. We need to, and I agree with Jim, we need to find a way to express our concerns in a way that all of us are comfortable with if we're going to do this.
It's got to be unanimous. We've come to it.
We have to try at least to come to, if I'm forced to vote today, I'm going to have to vote no, because I'm not comfortable with this proclamation.
Yeah, I think that would be a terrible signal if we can't get together on this. So I'd agree.
So
maybe we table it until the next council meeting. In the meantime, we craft.
And I'm not sure how that would be done, because we can't do it outside of a meeting. But I know that, you know, we have to, however it would be recommended, but I am not comfortable with this the way it is. And if I'm forced to vote, I will be voting against it.
Now I go. Okay, thank you. Well, I agree with both Jim and Elaine. I think that it's very premature to do this. Even Mr. Sapp from the Southern Environmental Law Center said that in holdings on different other properties. How has that affected that? Has that taken 60,000 visitors down to 10,000 or down to zero? We don't know the answer to that, and I think we are an answer to that, and we need that sort of an answer in order to understand what does an in-holding do if the county goes that way. What is our concern? Is it to build one house? Is that too many on the acres? Certainly, there's none of us up here that aren't concerned about doing anything that harms the island as it currently exists, and that's as a national seashore that people will come and see. But to vote on this tonight, I'm at the same point as Elaine. It's just not enough information for us to tell the county how we really feel, and I think we owe it to all of you and the citizens to get that before we do something rash. And perhaps nobody listens to us after that. Maybe Mr. Canning is exactly right. Once we say that, then we've made a decision and we're done. And so I really think that we owe ourselves and we owe you looking at this, and we've certainly got 2 weeks in order to resolve this. I think that's when next council meeting is, isn't it, Mr. Holman?
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that's all I got. Thank you. Alan.
I appreciate the effort that Bob put forth on his proclamation, but I think the verbiage is what probably did me in. And I think what Elaine suggests, what all of us want, is we've been a strong unified front on a lot of issues, and that says a lot about the city council, even for those that just voted for me. And but I think we need to really have time to process this. And not a long time, just a short period of time for us to look over this and be able to give our input to then do what the citizens of St. Mary's expects of us to do. And, you know, getting it in the time frame that we got it over the Easter weekend and all that, it really made it hard for us to really spend time reflecting on what this means. And then hearing what y'all said tonight, I appreciate everything that y'all said. And I did listen to everything that you said, so I appreciate that.
Ms. Booth.
I would be in favor of tabling if it looks like this is going to fail, because I'd rather send a strong message of unity on our deep concerns. Now, I don't think that we do very well when we modify on the fly, and so I'd rather, even if we have to have a called meeting next week, I'd rather do that than modify on the fly and then not be sure that we've thought through what we're sending to the county.
Agreed.
Again, I think it would be disastrous if we voted this down or split. We've got to come together. I like what you said, Alan. We come together on things. I think we all are concerned. Well, I think we hear from you. You're concerned. And we have to express that concern, but we've got to be careful on how we word it. So, 2 weeks delay to try to craft that together, I don't think that that's asking too much.
Okay. So I'm going to speak much as I did at the work session. And so one of the things that, and this is not meant as an insult to anybody, please take it this way. But everyone who has read anything about ancient Roman Greek culture knows what a Pyrrhic victory is. And this is a Pyrrhic victory for one side or the other, and that is just not what we as St. Mary's have done. Now, we have had some serious votes and not been 100%. And that was okay, because you watched us deliberate very hard and come up with conclusions that we thought was were in the best interest of the city. I still think we can do that. As I shared with you, a proclamation, well, he called it a resolution, but anyway, we'll determine what the proper terminology is, from our lawyer relative to this, that speaks to the word I heard about concern. It deals with the concerns of the city of St. Mary's relative to the decisions that the Camden County Board of Commissioners is working on, and the continuing efforts to resolve the land use issues pertaining to property on Cumberland Island in a way that balances the private property interest with the environmental considerations of the public at large in a way that is fair for all concerned. However, I also heard some good comments here that may want to enhance this, that talks about consequences to St. Mary's and impact on St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. And I do think that sharing this with you all, with your feedback, and then a call meeting early next week to put the compiled information together that deals with what we heard here, but also talks to concern, but it's not that doesn't end up with a split vote. And I do think that you are definitely going to have a split vote that's going to be determined by the mayor, and that's just not the right thing. And I would ask if that's an acceptable format, we will get this out to you tomorrow morning and look for the input that we can consolidate, and then we'll set up a council work session so that we can craft the document that hopefully satisfies everybody, that is a strong message to the county leadership about them understanding the impact. Now, unfortunately, it's not ready for tomorrow's meeting. I just don't think we can do that. But we can let them know that this is coming for tomorrow's meeting, that we have determined that we will write a resolution/proclamation that strongly expresses our concerns about the decision-making that's going to happen relative to Cumberland Island and its impact on St. Mary's. And I will go there and talk to that issue, and you're all welcome to go along.
Mr. Mayor, can we offer an amendment without accepting
the amendment? Well, I think if you have to determine whether or not you want to amend it or whether or not you want to withdraw.
Why don't you let me speak to my motion?
That's okay.
That would be one way to do it. I want to speak first, though, to the density issue. In Lou Mar's original work, they have 87 acres is what they have out of the 1,000, and they have spoken directly to a 10-house compound.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've said right there.
Just saying it out there. So now you can extrapolate that to the 1,000 acres at 10 homes per 100. That's 100 homes out there. So that is a very realistic number. Now, will 10 homes be built inside of the next year? Absolutely not. But that's what we're setting is the legacy. However, hearing all the opposition with my fellow council members, I'll withdraw my motion and say that this issue should be tabled for a decision at the next council meeting. Because I, too, do agree that sending a split message or having the mayor make the final decision takes the burden off our shoulders, and that shouldn't be. And I would just also caution one more time, we are not here to discuss the county. We are not here to discuss Woodbine or Kingsland Brunswick or Jacksonville. We are here to discuss St. Mary's. It is the St. Mary's citizens that put us in office to make decisions such as this. And our economic livelihood, we're already struggling downtown, is going to pay the price for a disruption on the experience of Cumberland Island. And so with that, I'll withdraw my motion and table it until the next council meeting.
Or called meeting.
Or next called meeting.
Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay.
A second.
Or you withdraw a second.
Withdraw it.
Okay, so this topic.
There is no motion on the table for this, so move on.
There's a tasking to the city manager to set up a called meeting for early in the week of the 24th of April, at which time you will have distributed this proposed resolution / proclamation from our attorney with...
Can I just make one comment? The proclamation or resolution that Mr. Moore has put forward is absolutely unacceptable in its present form.
Well, that's why we all don't look at it.
It's just saying.
Yeah. So, we can put both on. We can have both proclamations out. If you want to edit both, send them back in. But we will have to come to a conclusion about a document we're going to send out at the work session. So, Mr. Holman, we need a work session for next week. You'll see me have a dilemma in your face.
If I'm not, well, I'm just, you should do a motion to table this to the next regular or called council meeting, tasking the manager to get out both, to send out both copies of the resolution for comment from council to respond directly to the manager. I can then get that back to the attorney and then try to come up with some draft with everybody's...
Well, I seriously wonder whether or not that'll work, because I think that we can compile the input from everyone and then let them work through it at the work session, and that work session is going to take 2 hours. It takes 2 hours. Because if we give it to the attorney, it's not going to be satisfactory to anybody.
If they can get the comments back to me so I can get them all in.
Compiled and sent out so they can prepare their thoughts for the call meeting or regular meeting. / work session. Regardless, we do have a work session.
But if we could just have a motion to table this and place it on the next...
Someone want to make a motion based on the motion that he proposed?
Move to table this issue and for it to come up at the next meeting or called meeting?
Next call meeting, okay. With the instructions that you...
With the guidelines that have been set out.
Yes, thank you.
Second.
All right, that's Ms. Williams. And a second from Mr. Riley.
Now, with respect to that, we're going to have a work session, right?
Yes,
right? Before that,
yeah,
so we can work there.
Work session to determine
the
language.
Because I think it's needed.
Absolutely. I just have one point of order for Ms. Walker Reed. Deborah, the comments that I read at the work session, can I just send these to you electronically so they're incorporated in the minutes, or should I read them again to be incorporated into the minutes?
You'd have to read them. They wouldn't be in the minutes because the work session and the council meeting are separate. So if you want to read them now.
I beg the indulgence of the council to read so they're in the minutes.
If I can make one point, minutes are supposed to encapsulate the content of the conversation, not to reiterate word for word. So is there a way that we can accomplish what Mr. Nutter needs to have done?
Just what he said. He can say state for the record, or he wants them incorporated into the minutes.
Well, okay.
And then you just have to read it verbatim now, because I'd have to take what your actions say.
So we're no. I think there is no way to be able to put a document within the council package relative to what has occurred at the meeting.
The council could approve the inclusion of Mr. Nutter's document. I don't have the date or specific title of it. To be included in the minutes of the session. You can make a motion, and then they would
be included. Well, we have other people that also have notes.
Yeah,
so the question is, how are we going to handle that? Because we're making this exclusive again.
Yeah,
this is supposed to be a universal. I understand, that's really the only way to do it, or to include, you know, I could verbatim the entire session.
I move that we put the desired statements verbatim as part of the minutes, so that...
And I'll second that.
Anybody that wants to have their exact words can have them.
And I'll second that.
Mayor Morrissey?
Yes, ma'am.
So we already had a motion on the, floor, which was direct Mr. Holman with the first one, Ms. Williams, Camp Rock, Mr. Bradley, that wasn't voted on.
So we have to hold that until...
We need to take that vote.
So repeat what it is that we're asking Mr. Holman to do.
You're asking Mr. Holman, Councilmember Williams made a motion to allow Mr. Holman to receive documents from council regarding their concerns or suggestions regarding a possible draft or proclamation for Mr. Holman to possibly get with the attorney and to schedule a work session for city council, and that was not voted upon.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, Madam Clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go.
All those words got to cover.
Now I make a motion that we allow anyone who wants verbatim comments on this issue included as a part of the minutes of this meeting to submit them to our clerk, Ms. Walker Reed, and tomorrow, and to have them included verbatim in the minutes.
And I'll second that.
Okay, Ms. Williams, why are you looking that way, ma'am?
Under the law, if you state that it's for the record, then your exact comments are put in the minutes on the record. You can't say something different in a council meeting and then submit a document later that contradicts what you state in a council meeting under the law. So if you state that it's for the record, everything that you state from that point forward will be in the minutes. If you'd like to produce that document, you can, so that I would have it. But when you state something is for the record, then it's verbatim under the law what you state. Once you state for the record, that exact statement is included. And then you can always give, if you want to give it later, you can, but you wouldn't be able to state something for the record and then give me something different.
All right.
Later.
Mr. Holman, we had an item on the agenda that says, here are my notes, and but it doesn't show up until the next package. Is that acceptable? Or do we can sit here and have everyone agree their statements?
Really, it's up to council. But if there are written statements, and that's what we're talking about, written statements that someone has right now, because you can't really give me something tomorrow that you write up on what you said tonight. That won't work. Mm. Mr. Nutter has a written statement. If somebody else has written statements tonight that we can hand to the city clerk, and council approves them to be part of the minutes, that's fine. If they do not have the written statements tonight, I don't know how we take them tomorrow and say that they were part of the record tonight.
She says that they can't be approved as such. They have to be, for the record, it has to be read into the record. That's what she's saying.
I can't tell you that.
That's why I'm saying,
why they got to be read.
Take an agenda item to discuss.
I would say the titles of each one would have to be read so you know what you're reading into and the dates.
I have a quick question, and this is really, I have a written statement as well, but it's kind of overcome by the fact that we're again going to do the right thing with respect to conducting this work session next week, and we're going to have this issue come up at the next council meeting. And so I don't see much value in submitting mine at this point. However, you know, you may be in the same boat, and you may have some point that you're trying to make.
I feel that my comments are relative to the discussion at hand, regardless that it wound up being tabled to the next regularly called or special called meeting.
Well, okay. We are through this section of the item A discussion of Cumberland Island. We're literally through that session. We don't have anything on the agenda that says about minutes, what we're going to add or subtract the minutes. Mr. Riley's recommendation that the minutes and everything be provided for the work session discussion And if the package wants to be taken in as part of whatever proclamation is approved or whatever, if a decision is made not to approve proclamation, that package may be part of the minutes of that special meeting that you took.
So these notes can be provided in the package for the special call meeting?
Absolutely.
Would that work? Because it'll be in the record, but it won't be in the minutes.
We've spent probably twice to three times the amount of time it would have taken me to read what I have in front of me on something that now is turning out to be what I feel is an albatross around my neck somehow or another.
If it simplifies the matter, Mr. Nutter could read that in during his
Thank you, John. I'll do just that.
No, I'm just saying, you can read it in during your time and you can make comments.
I'll do just that.
On the other hand, though, Mrs. Walker-Reed traditionally summarizes comments.
Mr. Miller can hand her directly what he read, so she has
and that
that's occurred before.
Good.
That's kind of the way we have my notes on the mail property.
I'm just trying to move us through, but that would be the solution to this, and then you hand your sheet to our city clerk, so the city clerk can take that and add that to the record.
Got it.
Council comments, I will read my comments, and then I will give my two pieces of paper to Ms. Walker-Reed.
Thank you. That should be possible.
Item B.
Anything further?
All right.
Item C, St. Mary's Road Landscaping Bid Award and Budget Order.
Hang on.
There are people that have questions, and Ms.
Mayor,
Cox,
hang on.
You want to come to the...
Mayor?
Hang on a minute.
Yes, Mayor. Yes.
Ms. Williams, when you had gotten done with the first motion, Ms. Williams didn't immediately make the motion for the
second motion
to allow Mr. Nutter. When you got done with the first
motion, I'll withdraw my motion.
She'll withdraw? Okay, she'll withdraw.
Mr. Nutter, you want to withdraw your motion?
You seconded me saying you could submit your documents.
Oh, then yes, I withdraw.
Thank you. All right, we're clear.
God almighty.
Next.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
All right. Who had the question on this budget ordinance?
I had a question earlier. I sent that to Mr. Cox, and he has sent me an answer, which answered one of the questions that you brought up earlier with respect to the failed pump or dying pump on St. Mary's Road, and that's being looked at by the landscape. He was going to call the landscape company out, and also I asked about the guarantee on this set of plantings that we're proposing, and if it was in performance with the concept that we approved earlier, and I got the answer to that. Yes. 1 year for the guarantee, and it was
for one year, mm-hmm. And these plants are also going to be guaranteed for 1 year.
Great.
There is one change in this, in that we are having a contractor do the ordering for this, so we don't put that on our public works. Our public works can go about their regular duties. So the contractor is responsible for the release plans.
That's one reason why you had to rebid it.
That and their safety for their workers and for the public traveling.
Maintenance of traffic.
Not a good maintenance of traffic.
Anything else?
Do we make a motion? I make a motion that we approve this award.
I second it.
Okay. Second by Mr. Riley. Discussion?
I just want to mention this is the first big step on St. Mary's Road. We did the palm trees. That was a little step. This is a big step because they're going to have landscaping pretty much all the way from Haddock Road back to the palm trees, more or less. But it's only the next step. There is the next step after that is the design of our gateway itself. The concept has been approved, and I would hope we can do that in the next budget cycle, and then after that, construction. So it's slow, but we're getting there. So congratulations.
Anyone else? Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? And clerk is...
Thank you.
report that to Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're at item H, budget ordinance, FYI, general fund budget, senior center van. I don't know who had the question.
I had the question on that one as well, and the question is really, is this van, after we spend $6,800, is it worth the $6,800, or are we sending good money after that? Did somebody look at it?
It is Walmart for $6,800.
Okay, that's all I wanted to be sure of, is it, wasn't good money after that? Sometimes it's cheaper to buy a new one.
What?
Not that one.
No.
Okay, you satisfied my question.
And I was just curious what the problem exactly is with the van.
There's damage to the body that needs to be repaired. We tried to get three quotes, only one company is capable of doing the repairs. So that damage to the body makes the van unsafe. I don't know what caused the damage, but we are getting it repaired.
Should we have a motion on the table to continue this discussion? Would that be a little Roberts issue there?
Wait, is everybody ready? Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I've still got comments, but why would want a motion going first, and then I'll make the comments.
You want to make the motion?
I will. I'll authorize the repairs. I authorize the repairs to be made.
Second.
Or authorize the budget amendment so the repairs can be made.
I have a motion from Mr. Netter and a second from Ms. Williams. Right, so further discussion, Bob?
Yeah. How much is this van used?
They use it on a daily basis.
On a daily basis?
Yeah.
So are we measured in, is the maintenance schedule measured in miles or is it measured in hours?
We measure it in really mostly hours on this van, and you know, this damage is unusual damage. It's not something we're running into often. Really, our cost for maintenance on this van is not expensive at all. The cost to replace would be significantly expensive. In the interim, I have to thank the seniors and staff who've gone out there and picked up the people that usually take the van.
Okay.
And so we have been providing the service, and necessary, we looked at having to lease a van for a period of time for this repair.
Okay. All right.
Should I ask what was needed? Why are we doing the repair? I you said body damage, but what?
Yeah, it had to deal with the steps and something outside. You know, what caused it? I think I don't think it doesn't look like age.
What is the age in year? I mean, is it like a 19? I mean, a 2005 Ford? 07?
2007. It does not have a lot of miles.
Yeah.
And our mechanics take good care of it. This is just beyond our ability to repair.
So, Chris, your guys take care of the oil changes and pumping the tires up and stuff like that? Okay. All right. All in favor?
All right. Are we
move on?
Who else has questions?
All in favor?
Maybe. Council, we're finished with discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? And clerk, that's unanimous.
Yes, sir.
Next item is the downtown improvement project sidewalk highway renovation. I'd like a motion.
I motion to approve.
Thank you, Mr. Canada. I want a second, please.
Second.
Mr. Riley. Mr. Riley, Mr. Gandy made the motion.
Yes.
Would you like to go? I don't know who asked.
I am so excited about this project moving forward. We've only been talking about it for 30 years or longer. So, you know, if this comes about before I die, I would be so pleased. But anyway, it's a great addition to downtown. We got to modernize and open that asphalt up so it's not so much asphalt. We need a landscape. And what the beauty of this is, it adds to our storm drainage retention detention problem.
It does. There is stormwater mitigation is a strong element of this project.
I just want to make sure I know what I'm approving. When you say approval, the concept plan for the downtown improvement project, are we approving everything in that plan?
No, you're just approving the concept. There will be changes, I'm sure, as we move forward, because we're at 50%
engineering, you're giving us, you're advising us that yes, the rain gardens are good, we want to go with rain gardens, trash cans, the, I know somebody joked about it, but it's serious, serious when you're talking about what style trash cans you're going to use, what kind of benches you're going to use, what kind of lights you're going to use. These are things that are going to be signatures for downtown. Also widening the sidewalks, greening the area, that's what you're approving at this point.
Well, I still am hesitant about the splash pad. So I don't want to cry right now that I'm 100% okay with that splash pad, because I'm not.
You're not giving final approval, or the engineer, or any of my public works people, final approval to put a splash pad in, nor final approval to, you know, whatever the design is going to be out front of this building. That will be coming down a little later on. Splash pad is included in this as part of the design. That may change. That will be up to council when we bring all this back to council, or may not change.
I just don't want to imply tonight that I'm 100% okay with all the aspects of the plan.
No, that's why the concept. You're just approving concept, right?
The concept is a splash pad in it.
There is a splash pad in the concept.
And I'm not necessarily comfortable with that yet. So I don't want, a year from now saying, well, you approved it.
What I'm approving construction drawings.
You will be approving construction drawings. You will be approving.
Showing the comeback.
Okay, just a minute.
Are you finished?
No, I just want to make sure when I, if I vote on this, that nobody's going to come back and say, well, you approved this splash pad, because I am not comfortable with that yet.
I just want to make sure we're talking over one another.
Yes.
Follow the protocol. If you're finished.
I am now.
All right, Mr. Riley, you spoke to Mr. Riley.
Not yet. Okay, I apologize for overstating that, but the point I was making is construction drawings will have to be approved before we go forward. And if there's something in them that we don't want, that's the time that I would come up. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Okay.
We're going through the process. There will be more of this brought back.
What happened in general discussion, Mr. Riley?
Now, the other point.
Are you still talking, right?
I thought so.
You just told
me off. Okay.
Are you being interrupted back there?
Okay. The other point that I'd like to make is that I really, you know, I completely agree with Mr. Gant's assessment of this project, and I've been looking forward to this for a long time, working with DDA, making some of these type improvements, and we spent some of the money for it. And what we see when we vote on this stuff from the DDA, and what I see when I vote on this downtown area from up here, is an economic improvement for the entire city, not just for the downtown. And I think that we need really to emphasize what that means in the as a benefit to the city in a whole, so that citizens understand that we're not just trying to take care of downtown, we're really trying to make the economic improvements in St. Mary's, which we have the stuff that we're doing at the Mill Property, stuff we're doing up at Kings Bay Plaza with Veterans Clinic. We've got stuff that we're doing in other areas of town as well as the downtown. This downtown is a tourism aspect of one of the, what I consider to be three pinnacles of us going forward with economic development and making it good for the community. So I really see this as being an economic development initiative, as well as improving storm sewers and other things that we have in the need to do in the city. So thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the time.
Mr. Rassi.
My only concern, I'm sure, and Elaine shared that earlier, was the splash pad. That's the only thing I've seen concerns about. And people have voiced that concern with me. So,
Ms. Williams.
Well, to paraphrase what Mr. Gant said, we've been working on this for 40 years, but why did we not get any advanced presentation of this in our packet? Why did it come on the agenda?
The reason it came on the agenda is the city manager put it on the presentation. The city manager forgot to put it on the agenda. That's why it did not end up. You should have gotten this on Friday, and that's my fault. It ended up on Monday. Certainly, we've done a lot of presentations on this and this project, but you should have had my write-up on Friday, or excuse me, on Thursday, Friday,
I tried to attend services on that day. And that was my fault. I just put the presentation on, and unfortunately, my brain must have gone off tracks. Because if I do a presentation, normally I have something on the meeting that says, well, we did the presentation, this is why.
I didn't do a side-by-side comparison and realized that there was no information to go with your presentation. So I guess I'm a little bit at fault for that. But does this, I guess you've already said this, but I just want to verify. This does not mean that we have approved everything that's in there. It just means, what, we're going forward with some money to pay the engineers?
We already have the money to pay the engineers. That was approved by council much earlier this year. We have stopped the engineers' work at this point until we hear about the Section 319 grant, because the funding we have put aside for the engineer can be used as a matching share if that grant comes through. To expend any more dollars before we hear on that grant, I just feel would not be to the benefit of the city. Be much more cost effective if we can get that $25, $30 match to that, to where they're paying part of the engineering and we're paying part of the engineering. What we've expended to date got us to this point, this 50% point. Now we have to take the other 50%. I expect to hear on that grant within the next couple of weeks.
Is it scientifically proven that all of these permeable pavers and this rainwater collection system and so forth and so on, you said it's not going to solve a hot hurricane, and I completely understand that, but is it scientifically proven that it will really do a lot to help our flooding problem in the downtown?
As part of our submission for the 319 grant, we have to do a review of what these elements will do, removing phosphorus and nitrogen from stormwater going in, and what kind of controls or what we should expect from this when this goes in. What I used and what we used in that study was the 10-year storm. Now where you get any kind of rain, you see all this puddling occur in the parking areas, and then what you see here will resolve that. That water will either go into the ground or go into these rain gardens. That will work. This works in Savannah. It works in a lot of different areas. It works in Statesboro. These are common practices. We will do best practice manual for maintaining them, keeping them clean, ensure they're set up. That's actually part of the Section 319 grant. We are required to do a BPM. Part of that, as I said, if we go through this, I probably need one more person downtown in addition to Jeff to help maintain and make sure that this does stay clean. And that's going to be part of our BPM program. And it is put in our 2019 or 2020, depending on when this project comes to completion. But yes, I am sure, because we only got 50% and we haven't dug into the ground yet, and there's a lot more work for my engineer to do on this, that we will find things that we'll probably have to change a little bit. And then council can approve and not approve the splash pad down the road. The splash pad is not tied to any grant. Splash pad is not grant dependent. There's no funding for splash pads, except what we put in.
Linda?
I have not.
Okay.
Couple points. The splash pad is going to be in front of the pavilion, correct?
That would be the location, yes.
Okay. And isn't that also the same location for the clean out for the boats?
The clean out is on the opposite side of the pavilion, yes.
Opposite.
In other words, it's on the water side of the pavilion. This is on the...
Okay, so there'd be absolutely no opportunity for a spill to get on the splash pad. Okay, good. As this becomes a little bit more fleshed out, I know we're at the concept stage, but there's going to be plans working in there. Are there thought processes for bench sponsorship or paver sales, things along this line to augment the installation costs? And at the same time, allow citizens to express their feelings towards a family member or
honor,
honor
in memory of, things along this line here. That's a fairly common practice, especially with benches.
In my manager's report, I do comment that that would be one of the funding areas that we need to work on and get through, which is people to provide sponsorships. But until I get approval of these type benches this year and where they're going to be located, it's kind of tough to do that. Okay. Also, I would like to get brick sponsors. I love brick sponsors. It's a great program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just didn't want that idea to fall through the cracks. That's, go from there.
It's the same thing we're looking at for the, service program.
Okay.
Okay, well, why don't we open it up? Who would like to go? Yes, sir.
The splash pad is a definite area of concern. I kind of like it, but I can understand where there could be some concern on it. So I'm suggesting that we direct the A&E, not until he gets to 90%. That's too far along. Somewhere between 50 and 90, it's 70 or something, to come before council and give us pluses and minuses on splash pads and let us discuss it and make that decision. Because if you go any further, you're going to have engineering into it, and you're going to be paying money into it. And until we get a buy-in from the council, I don't think you should go all the way with the splash pad to 90%, which is your next normal mark. And you could almost do the same thing with the infiltration thing. They could address that too, because that is something new for us. For example, when it's really dry out and there's no rain, you know, are these plants going to live or that kind of thing? But these two items need to be settled long before 90%.
We have no problem with bringing this back to 75%. I can bring the engineer and the architect back in for a full presentation to council. I'll bring it back into the downtown development authority first, and then bring it right into council.
I think I get you what you need.
No problem.
Okay. Do we need to make an amendment for that? Or?
No, I thought that would be necessary.
I think that's a good call. And Mr. Gann's part?
Part of the research, John, on splash pads would be any litigation that you've heard about, either like in Atlanta where the Olympic splash pad is, or other cities that have splash pads. We don't want a Harrell and Harrell or a Morgan and Morgan coming in here every other week.
Well, splash pads, you have two choices when you man them, you don't man them. If you don't man them, you put signs up. If I put six lawyers in here, I'll get six opinions. But the insurance company, based on my call to the fire insurance carrier, is that you put the proper signage up. You do not man the splash pad. It's up to parents to keep an eye upon their children that are in there or whoever may be using the splash pad. The splash pad, of course, can be shut down, and we can put our stage and other ones on top of the splash pad when we're having our special events. That's the whole purpose of not having any playground type items or anything else. The splash pad is also a push button splash pad. It doesn't operate all the time. There may be a fountain in the middle that does, but when you want to use the splash pad, the one that we're thinking about, you push a button, operates for 5 minutes and then shuts down.
Kind of like the jets in a hot tub.
Yeah, that's about it. Push the button. That's actually very popular. It's used in probably a dozen of the different towns I've spoken to with regard to splash pads. They have not had a problem with splash pads.
Can you provide some of that information to us as this becomes a little bit more down the towns that you spoke to?
If you'd like to, I'll be happy to send an email out to my managers association, and they will send me back everything you want to know about splash pads.
Well, we'd like to know what other people have experienced, you know, with that to help allay some of our concerns.
And, yeah, and it isn't just the idea of the splash pad. It's also the location. I don't know that we've selected the best location for a splash pad if we choose to want a splash pad. So it's a combination of things that I have concerns about.
And we got to do that long before 90%.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'll bring them back in at 75% so that you can have all the information.
All right, Dave. Yeah, one last question, and Alan really mentioned this to me earlier, and I want to make sure that we consider the fact that we have festivals, and when we're doing these these improvements down there, we have to have some way to accommodate them, in my opinion, and not be canceling them for a year or anything like that. So we really need to get into discussions and see how we can bring them to a different part of the city or whatever we need to do.
We'll start with a meeting with the festival sponsor. There will probably need to be some adjustments while we're doing this. This is the first time that downtown has been rehabilitated through a shrimp program, what I call shrimp.
Yeah.
And we will work with them to make this work. We will put in the contract when we have festival dates.
Good.
So much like we did for the other unit there.
Yeah.
We will require some accommodation.
Yeah, good to think of that up front.
We're also making sure that unless they're pouring concrete right in front of any of the stores, right in the access ways or main things of the restaurants and stores, any area we're working. But when you are pouring the new concrete sidewalk, that access way is going to be blocked. Is that curious?
Yeah.
Your comment that will take some accommodation, if you minimize that, that's big accommodation.
I've done it in two different towns. It takes accommodation and people working together.
Oh, yeah.
And I think one thing I want to bring up, if I can, I think if it challenges us far enough ahead to think outside that box where we can make those accommodations and make things work successfully, through our thought process, who's to say that we won't unveil something new that maybe we haven't entertained before? You know, something more creative to do with our festivals. So, right, Judy?
It's always good to have a challenge.
I would want to bring it up early.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Linda?
Yeah. Okay. I think everybody was correct. It's been a long time coming, but I think what Mr. Holman talked about earlier was the fact that we committed to master planning. We brought on an expert, and Mr. Adams, who has had decades of master planning experience with multiple jurisdictions, and he has proven his mettle in helping us move the master plan along over these 16, 15 months, and we're coming to closure on a document that we're already trying to implement to make sure people understand that we will do it judiciously and with the greatest care to everybody's money. And I think one of the things that obviously comes from that is a sense of participation that we've asked everybody, and you know, as you can see, it's still developing. So if you've got input, we're still looking for your input, either at the council or from our friends out in the city. So are there any other questions or comments? Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Madam Clerk, mark that as unanimous.
Yes, sir.
John, my thanks to everyone that's got us this far, and the staff and the consultants, obviously, that you've worked with, and the citizens that have inputted. We need to make sure that everybody understands how appreciative we are. And you understand the scrutiny that we put through on this is just to make sure that we are comfortable, too. But we understand the level of work that it's taken to get this far.
Just to be aware, in 2 weeks, I do have a meeting with the engineers and with the architects. And this is when we start breaking down costs to place against the grants and funding opportunities to make sure that we have the dollars allocated to the proper location. That will be a challenge in this project because we're using two different grant funding sources. I'm hoping we can do the grant funding sources plus our own money, and I can't cross match.
So you think you'll hear other grants in 2 weeks?
I would think so.
Because you wouldn't meet unless you're going to do that. So if you're there.
Yeah, I would certainly think so.
Okay. Good. Got my fingers crossed.
Right. Thank you, John.
And toes.
All right, Madam Clerk, the calendar, please.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow, your council chambers at 5:30 p.m., the Historic Preservation Commission meeting. On Wednesday, April 19th, here in council chambers, the Board of Ethics has canceled their meeting. On Thursday, April 20th, at the St. Mary's Museum meeting, their meeting. On Friday, April 21st, here in council chambers, 9 o'clock, municipal court, plea and arraignments, followed by the 11 o'clock trials here in council chambers. On Tuesday, April 25th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the fiscal year 2018 budget work session for council here in council chambers. At 3 o'clock p.m. at the Warden Hernandez Building, also on April 25th, is the St. Mary's Convention and Visitors Bureau Authority meeting. on 4:00 p.m. The St. Mary's Library will have their meeting at the library at 4:00. 5:30 p.m., the Planning Commission meeting here in Council Chambers. On Wednesday, April 26th, as an overflow, second day to the fiscal year 2018, here in Council Chambers will be the budget work session, again starting at 9:00. At 2:00 p.m. on April 26th, the Oak Grove Cemetery Authority meeting has been canceled. At 5:30 p.m. here in Council Chambers on April 26th, open meetings, open records training. On Friday, April 28th, at 2:00 p.m. here in Council Chambers, bid opening for the St. Mary's Stormwater Master Plan Project Number 3. On Monday, May 1st, Council Chambers at 6:00, City Council meeting.
Thank you, ma'am. Remind me about what is the St. Mary's Stormwater Master Plan Project 3 again?
That is Bartlett, the phase one of Bartlett Street. Mm-hmm. Bartlett Street, Alexander.
I am going to speak under report of the mayor, and I thought this might have been interesting for everyone. Several meetings ago, we passed had motions relative to drones within the 3,000-foot distance from the fence of the submarine base. And as you know, the genesis of that was from the base itself, and attached in the package is an update from April 4th of 2017 from Strategic Command relative to guidance for anti-drone measures near nuclear sites. So, you know, many times we don't know exactly what the reasons are, and we're asked sometimes to go on faith from the military because of the need for secrecy or whatever. It still doesn't say a great deal, but I thought there would be some interest in the public in understanding that there apparently was a need, and it does in fact reference Kings Bay in this news article. And again, it's in the package if you would like to read it, but it just says that sometimes we do have to have a bit of faith in the requests that we get from our military. We're appreciative that they have asked us the way they did rather than tell, so that we can help control it. So I'm going to move into granting audience to the public. Please come up to the front. Thank you. How are you?
Very well spoken, and I'm excited to hear how you'll modify this and let the county, let them know where we stand in St. Mary's. We fought like crazy to keep the ferry coming out of St. Mary's. Lord knows we need to do what we can professionally, and I trust you to do that well. That's not really what generated me getting up, and I didn't really want to say it in front of a big crowd until y'all brought up the splash pad. Thank you, John, and thank you, Jim, for saying I like splash pads. When I first got on the CBB, I loved splash pads. They put one in Savannah downtown, almost right on Bay Street. Huge Ellis Square. And then I moved away before I got to Cleveland. But I really would not have, but I would have walked in it. Just wanted to tell you, when I got on the CBD, one of the first things, I was blazing a trail, going around to all downtown merchants. What can I do for you? You know, because I thought that's what the CBD would do. So many of them, we worked, and Linda now knows, hand in hand with things about coming up. But what the merchants would tell me, almost the first thing, and everyone knows this now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Riverside Cafe. First thing she said, give us something for the children. St. Mary's has nothing for the children. They get asked that all the time. What is there for the children? The splash pad, I've been excited since they mentioned it. I'm like you, if there's some concern, work it out before it stops this project from going forward, but do something for the children. It's no more dangerous than the cannon that we played on when I was a child. That big kid's still there. Okay, I'm just saying, please do this for the children, the Kiwanis and our festivals. We can step out of that box, we can work around it. I look forward to working outside the box. We can do it, we're going towards Gateway property with our festival, this will give us a good reason. And it doesn't work all the time, right? We're not gonna have water flowing constantly.
No, the area can be, the splash pad can be shut down, so it can be used for festivals and events, and the splash pad's turned back on.
I'm excited. Thank you for the concept, and if you want my personal opinion, I'll see you outside on the splash pad.
All right, who's next?
Tony Blaisbrook, 308 Osprey Circle. I'd just like to repeat the request that I made last month, that the city manager's report be included in the online packet before the meeting and not 2 days after, so we have an opportunity to look at that. I would like to have seen earlier on the comments that I saw at 4 o'clock about the streetscape, because I might have had some comments about that as well. So unless there is some legal reason for that not to be included in advance, I'd just like to repeat that request. And also, if the video was working when Mr. Schmidt stabbed me in the back with his pen, I'd like to be able to use that.
Yes, sir.
It was an accident. I just wanted to say, I noticed when I first came to St. Mary's that that damn can was bent. And I don't know why.
She didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, what did you
say? When I first came to St. Mary's, I noticed the damn cannon was bent. Now I know why.
That's on base.
I just would like to ask if the city is aware of and has taken a position on the perimeter disturbance alarm speaker that the base has. That I don't know what causes it to come on. But it comes on loud enough I could hear it over the shower at 2:30 in the morning when I'm out with a puppy. And there was an article in the newspaper several times by a gentleman who's much closer than I am and can actually make the words out. I only got a couple of words. It has to do with violating security.
Is it alert because it's not an intruder thing?
I think it's, yeah. I think it's an intruder fire raccoons or something.
Use of deadly force.
Doesn't it go off automatic, Dave, every so often?
No, I think it goes off
just when somebody
has something that triggers it.
Okay.
A gentleman that lives much closer than I do.
I guess I shouldn't know that.
I think we may have two resources here. Yes, sir.
It is the perimeter security alert system for the limited area,
which is the first level.
Along the
fence.
What are they trying to?
There's a series of sonar sensors within this perimeter that are tricked by various animals and things like that, and it causes it to trigger.
When it comes on.
And it's also manually operated as well.
When it comes on, how are they trying to work?
I think
the drive by.
Yeah, there's a series of alarms that go off.
Okay.
We should look into that. I think we should look into it. A citizen complained about twice. He complained to the base. The base kind of blew him off. He asked him to turn it down. He claimed that it got turned down and then turned back up. If we're only trying to alert people inside of that area, certainly people in Shallow Lawn don't need to be here.
Unless there's a control, Mr. Holman, the PAO, if you could contact the PAO.
Yeah, there is a second ad instruction that dictates and mandates what they have to do, so what we ought to do is take a look at that and see with them.
In my house, I don't hear it, but I'm out in the yard. One evening, we were out, my wife and I on the back porch, watching puppies do what they do in the yards, and she said, "What the heck is that?" At first glance, it was loud enough, unintelligible, but loud enough that I thought maybe there was something going on with the police car with the doors open over in the mall. You know, I didn't know. And then I saw this article in the newspaper by somebody complaining about it, and I heard it again as recently as 5 o'clock this morning. So.
All right, sir, you've got that?
I do.
Okay, thank you. All right, next.
Tom Cannon, 4102 Place. I'd like to thank you all for continuing to consider your actions regarding the proclamation to the council, to the county commissioners. I'm sure that the product you come up with will truly represent St. Mary's concerns. Along that line, I want to make you aware you are wanting, so if I may, physically up the chain through from representing the city up to the county. We have an issue regarding down the chain, and that's from both the state level and federal level. The only feedback I have received from phone calls, emails, and those types of communications from elected officials is that this is a local issue. They're not getting the message that this is a national park with international visitors. The latest response I got was from Senator Perdue's, I don't know who it was, but it was one of his assistants,
Staffer
called, and thanked me very much for the communications and assured me that this was a local issue and that if it got to the federal level, they would pay attention. I'm using my words now. But. So, if any of you have contacts, both Landis and in Washington, I think time has come that you need to exercise that first contact. These are the least mechanism. There has been some national level coverage as far as newspapers and blogs, but obviously these people aren't reading those things. My concern is that this is being treated by everyone outside the county as a local issue. Yes, they have the authority, but the impact is global. The impact is international. As mentioned, you know, people from all over the world can visit not only all over the country. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware, I mean, I have specific feedback from representatives declaring this a local issue, and they're not going to interfere unless it gets raised to the federal level. It's time to do that. All right, along those lines, I want to remind you all, and thank you for the audience for me, the usual suspects, I guess. Tomorrow, the roundtable meeting includes Representative Spencer and Representative Corbett. As you know, Corbett is District 174, which includes Kingsland, and of course Spencer is our local representative. So that's a roundtable look at Missy's, and I hope as many of you all can be there as possible. Also tomorrow, even though this issue about Cumberland Island is not on the agenda, the county commissioner meeting is tomorrow at 6 p.m. And if anyone hasn't been to those in the past, like here, you can stand up and speak. The only difference is you have to sign in advance for the register. So you don't have to say what you're going to say in advance, just get your name on the list and we'll call you up there. So roundtable meeting tomorrow, county commissioners meeting in the evening, and call your buddies up there in Atlanta or Washington. Say, wake up.
Just as a point in time, Representative Corbett's district includes the area where they intend to build the technical college. And it's through his office that we're working to try and make that college happen. So we hope that if you can get there and you bring that particular topic up to him and remind him about how important it is.
The topic being the college or the Cumberland? Oh, the college.
Yeah, I'm on the college right now.
Well, okay, yeah, I think there'll be a few people that will be at Cumberland.
Yes, awesome, thank you. Okay, who's next? All right.
Oh, one more.
Kathy. Oh, sorry, yes, ma'am.
Kathy, Y102, Philview Park. My comment only has to do with as far as the concept and plans and everything that you're working on for the future of St. Mary's and to attract tourists. I'm just wondering what tourists will be coming if Cumberland Island is out of the picture. That's all I'm going to say.
Who's next? Thank you very much, everyone, for your patience today. We have council comments, and I'm going to start out with, I'm going to steal everybody's thunder while she's still here. Sherry Richter, thank you for everything you did to make the St. Mary's History Celebration, and don't try and be modest. You were the gel to put that thing together in 5 weeks with Mr. Gant, Mr. Post, and Julie Strait, and Tall Ships Alliance folks, and Tom Canning, and Fred Mercieri, and Jim Harris, and a number of folks. Excuse me if I don't mention you, but it was a small test run, and that's just, as I said, I think the most fun anybody had were the children on the in the Humvee and the turret spinning around, and the Marines had a blast with those kids.
Can I add to that a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. John and I got aside, and we said, we really need to have some kind of history celebration in conjunction with an event. And we didn't even know they were coming in until pretty quickly they were going to be here. And we said, now, who would be good to chair that? And we just said, Sherry. And she did agree.
Well, she made the chair?
She made the chair, big chair. She was a chair.
I didn't know she was the head. It was just natural, outgrowth. All right. So, yeah,
good job.
The history celebration, I think other people have talked about. Everyone celebrated the Easter week. Thank you. The Neiman Pinner were here. You heard budget sessions are starting on 4/25, 9 to 5 on the 25th, and 9 to 12-ish,
or whenever
on the 26th. Bob, we know you got a shortfall, so we're gonna front load everything with the major businesses.
We sometimes get done. Okay,
yeah, we do. Kiwanis One Day is now the 29th of April, and it's going to work on Lake St. Mary's, which if anybody hasn't been over to the Aquatic Center, seeing the construction right next to the bucket splash, go over there and look. PSA has done a wonderful job. It's not done yet, but we will have a celebration to open that very shortly. And you heard about the CRT. Okay. Jim, you want to go first?
You just took everything I was going to say.
That's why
you went first.
You do it every time.
I pass.
My turn? I just want to stress for anyone out there who knows of anybody who may be interested in joining a board or authority in the near future to take advantage of the training that is going to be happening later this month on open records, open meeting. So if you know somebody who's interested or may be interested in the future, encourage them to attend that. The other thing I want to mention, and I wish I had a flyer and things or something to pass out, but it doesn't work that way with the Pines. But the Pines on Saturday are having a luncheon post-Easter celebration that is multicultural. They are going to have a local minister and a Spanish minister from Jacksonville come up. They're going to have lunch for the community, sit down with tablecloths supposedly and the whole thing. And I know I'm going to be there to help serve the meal. And if a few of you want to drop in, the actual post-Easter celebration is starting about noon. I imagine folks will start gathering earlier than that. I'm going to try getting there at 11 to see if they need any assistance, and also try to get some of my transportation surveys that maybe Dave could give me a hand with some transportation surveys too.
Yeah, I told you what.
There.
But I'll be gone Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, no, I mean at that day, Saturday,
yeah.
If you're.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So I, you know, stop by and.
What day?
Saturday.
Saturday, what Saturday?
This Saturday.
Oh, okay.
This Saturday.
22nd.
22nd. So I think the meals are the, I don't know, the, and I wish I had a flyer, but I don't. So I thought I'd tell you about it.
Send us an email, please.
Send us an email.
Okay, I can. A reminder, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could get my hands on a flyer or something to share it, but the word has, it's sort of a word of mouth thing to everybody, you know, to show up. It's not real formal, but they're hoping for about 100, 150 people.
The last event over there was some fun.
Yeah, it was.
So it was good.
Yeah.
Okay, I beg your indulgence as I read my comments. And I'll read them verbatim for you, Deborah. Is that good? And provide a hard copy for you? Is that fine? Okay. Comments and thoughts, Council Works in April 17, 2017. From the foundation document dated 2/4/2014 for the Cumberland Island National Seashore, page 6, the statement of purpose. Quote, Cumberland Island National Seashore maintains the primitive, undeveloped character of one of the largest and most ecologically diverse barrier islands on the Atlantic coast, while preserving scenic, scientific, and historical values and providing outstanding opportunities for outdoor recreation and solitude, unquote. 60,000 Cumberland Island visitors per annum equals about 5,000 visitors per month, or about 1,000 to 1,300 visitors per week. I ask, can our downtown merchants, B&Bs, and hoteliers survive without the business that is generated by visitors to Cumberland Island? It is unknown at this time if the county will choose for allowable density for 1,000 acres in question. Depending on this crucial decision could range from 50 to 800 structures. What we do know is that the land in question lies in the very heart of the visitor experience. If the rezoning is approved, what will happen to the wilderness area access? Right now, people are thankful that unfettered access to the wilderness area is graciously given by property owners. But what happens to the visitor experience if this access is denied because of development in the future? What are the impacts on other environmental issues such as turtle nesting, bird populations, species migratory patterns, and other such concerns and impacts with the possible development of 1,000 acres? Audubon International recently cited Cumberland Island as one of the top 25 national parks for birding and a critical migratory destination. With encroaching development, can that possibly last? If rezoning is approved, what will be the impact to the investment St. Mary's is on the verge of making in accordance with its design plans of the Renaissance Slant St. Mary's Street streetscape project? If rezoning is approved, what will be the impact on the master plan and the investment of 18 to 20 months work by our citizen group? If rezoning is approved, what will be the outcome or impact on continued development of the St. Mary's Intercoastal Gateway? We have already seen the impacts of other development projects with the collapse of the Forum project once the mill property was rezoned to commercial light industrial. Can we expect to see a similar collapse in development interest should 1,000 acres of Cumberland Island be developed? What will be the economic impact to our businesses our B&Bs, our hotel, our future development plan, should our brand as the gateway to Cumberland Island be tarnished? What is the potential impact to tourist tax, sales tax revenues? Can our downtown businesses withstand and continue to be viable should rezoning and development take place? Finally, what will become of our legacy should St. Mary's, already adversely impacted because we're a cul-de-sac city, become a ghost town, a mere image of what once was when Cumberland Island was the wild place it is today? Where in history will this council stand? As the one that stood silently by, as the national treasure was compromised and sullied? Choose carefully, please. As a sidebar, it is my understanding, although I haven't seen it yet, that the Fernandina Beach City Council is contemplating a proclamation similar to the one I am presenting for consideration. And for irony, April 15th to April 22nd is National Parks Week, a national celebration with free admission on weekends of the land set aside over the years to recognize and support our diversity of nature and habitats. Thank you, and that's my comment.
Okay, I also beg the council's indulgence. I had prepared some comments, and as I get ready to read these, I'd like to state that the action that we took tonight, I think, has answered many of mine, because mine are based more on the fact that we don't know, and I think that was sort of displayed up here this evening. So with that said, these comments were developed specifically for the proclamation or resolution that was presented in the package tonight. So here we go. The purpose of this paper is to articulate my thoughts regarding the proposed proclamation that claims that that the City of St. Mary's stands opposed to rezoning of land on Cumberland Island that would permit construction or development. So, pretty much including everything. I am opposed to the proclamation for the following reasons. Number one, the land is privately owned and I have insufficient knowledge to understand the ramifications of the City of St. Mary's Council providing a statement advising the Camden County Board of Commissioners to deny the variance requested by Lumar. Second, I do not know what logic the families of Carnegie, Rockefeller, and Candler used when transferring all but 1,000 acres of property they owned on Cumberland Island to the United States government. Three, the family sold 87 acres of the retained 1,000 acres to Lumar in 1998. It is not clear to me what Lumar's intentions were with respect to this property when purchased, although an article in the Savannah News indicates they stated their intent to keep hold and preserve the property. I have not seen nor confirmed if their intent is documented in any official document. Four, Congress designated the federally owned property on Cumberland Island as a national seashore, which included all but the 1,000 acres that was retained by the families, as stated above in Bullet 2. I don't understand why the retained 1,000 acres was not resolved when designating the property as a national seashore. Additionally, the U.S. government could acquire the property today if they considered this proposed development an issue for visitor experience. Five, there are currently residents on Cumberland Island that, to the best of my knowledge, do not detract from the visitor experience. Six, Walter Langshaw, in an op-ed, indicates that there will be no profit nor eyesore, in quotes, type properties developed as a result of their plan to construct residence for family members. He further states that the homes will be built with minimal disturbance to the home site, will be buffered, and will not impede visitor movement throughout the national seashore. Southern Environmental Law Center is currently working with Lumar to develop a draft ordinance that may be acceptable to all of us who care deeply about Cumberland Island and will balance the rights of the landowner with the need to preserve this environmental and ecological gem. The histories of the family noted above clearly show that they believe Cumberland Island is special and should be there for all to enjoy and understand the wonders of nature. 8, we as a council have much to do in support of our mission, and are not, I do not believe this falls within that range of responsibilities, although this is not in the thing. I will say that tonight's comments have led me to believe that we need to consider this further. So this is somewhat to be proven. I changed my opinion somewhat as stated here. We have to the citizens of St. Mary's. The county commissioners are working the issue diligently, and I strongly feel it is counterproductive to make an attempt to exert pressure on them through the proposed proclamation. And finally, I feel this is a type issue that demands one's thoughts, opinions, and feelings regarding the issue are better expressed as individuals or groups of individuals, like at public forums, seeking their input, and not in a proclamation or piece of paper that purports to be an opinion that represents all the citizens of St. Mary's. This clearly does not represent the opinion of all citizens, and in my opinion, should not be presented as doing such. For the reasons expressed above, I'm unable to vote in the affirmative this evening for a proclamation that attempts to exert pressure by the City of St. Mary's and the Camden County Board of Commissioners to deny the Lumar Hardship variance approved by the Camden County Planning Commission. I've provided this paper to the city clerk to include as part of tonight's city council meeting's official minutes. David Riley, Councilman Post 4.
Can I speak?
No, that's it.
I'm looking forward to our work session.
Yes, I am too.
So, quickly, two things. One is I got a, if you guys want to grab one of these and share them with the seniors, even though most of you are seniors, and pass the word out on this Mardi Gras, or the senior prom, not the Mardi Gras, senior prom. I appreciate that. It's on Friday, May 12th. From 6 to 9, and Tom Canning's done a stellar job helping us get this organized. And then, secondly, on a lighter note, I feel like I need to reiterate this, because sometimes we get wrapped up into the heart of many things that are going on, even tonight. There's this little thing going around St. Mary's. It's called St. Mary's Rocks. How many people follow that? Okay?
Yes.
Pretty awesome, isn't it?
I follow it.
You know, and it's not just for the young kids, it's for the adults, too, because you see, there's 2,105 people on Facebook that like St. Mary's Rocks. And they paint rocks and they do all kinds of things. They take them over to the waterfront. They visit our stores. So that's kind of a neat thing. It's a lot more fun to see the rocks painted than people walking around looking for Pokemon. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's all I got to say.
Well, those of you that attended the Kiwanis meeting earlier today heard a variation of this, but it came to me in all the struggle as we wrestled with this Cumberland Island issue, and then I turn on the TV and I see these robotic soldiers marching in North Korea, and I see the crowds being told to clap, when to clap, how to clap, and cheer. I know it's tedious to live through the process that we live through sometimes. I mean, we started this at 5 o'clock this afternoon. It's now almost 9. Most of us could use a rest stop and a little refreshment of some kind. But, you know, it's still a very, very good thing that we live in a city that cares, especially as compared from what I hear with the other cities of this county. We're the passionate group. We're the ones that come out and show up and support all of these activities and ideas and thinking. And so we live in a passionate city, and we live in a country where we can express our thoughts, and we're free to discuss and debate and solve it and then carry on. So I'm appreciative of that.
Very good.
All right.
Mr. Holman and your manager comments. It's not bringing the notes, this is good, folks.
Yeah, we're ready. As you're aware, my manager's report comes up every so often, because it doesn't get out exactly when some people would like it to. My manager's report doesn't start until that agenda's finished, because the manager's report relies on that agenda in order to bring a lot of this information in. As most of you know, I work on that on Saturday. Unfortunately, for this past weekend, Easter weekend, I had to work on my professional credentialing documentation, so that did not get done. You will get a manager's report probably by close of business tomorrow, which will reflect everything up to what happened prior to this meeting. It is near impossible for me to get one out by Friday of a council meeting, just because of putting together that meeting. Deborah does quite a bit of work on it, but it still has to come out through my office to be read and finished up. And then what's in there, I try to include and take care of in my manager's report. Some items that have come up that you will be seeing shortly will be the Orange Hall report that has come through. It is in my box. I have read it. It does not have any numbers for repairs. I've asked Bobby to look into that, which probably means Chris is looking into it now, because Bobby and Robbie are off at the Obbies are off at the hurricane conference in New Orleans to prepare for the next hurricane season.
If they come back with deeds, I'm going to be upset.
I told them they better come back with deeds. So if they do in the evenings, I just don't want to get any reports on them. But they will be very dedicated, and that is a very intense. Anybody's ever attended, it's an intense convention. There's a lot of work and a lot of information presented. Fortunately, I wasn't able to send Jeff. I would have, but he has other things on his plate right now, so he gets to go another time, because he's the one that's helping us recover our funds from FEMA. The FEMA recovery is going well. We're looking to receive a large check in a relatively short order to help reimburse the city for our costs and supports. I'm expecting some additional information on the airport from the federal government in the very near future. The budget is mostly complete for presentation to the council. We are just finishing up a few numbers, making sure that we are in balance. Doesn't have to be correct. That's going to be balance. That's the rule. So it will be in balance between revenue and expenditures. Okay? Is really all I have, unless there are any questions from council.
Well, one comment talks about revenue, and then this gets to things that get lost in some of the maybe focus that happens during the course of between meetings. But as you've all read, there's been considerable discussion about the budget for the Coast Guard and what could be impacted, a 14% reduction in the budget for the Coast Guard, $1 billion. At one point in time, as this thing was developing, one of the articles clearly stated that the MSST was going to be completely disbanded, not just cut from 12 to 5 like it was threatened 4 or 5 years ago, but completely disbanded. And as you know, we have the equivalent of 15% of our general fund revenue comes from the MST and their the lease that we have over at the police building, and we have a millage rate of 6 right now. It's equivalent to 1.5 mils. So it was a significant piece of news for us, and required daily attention, and it still does. We have heard the latest news that seems that indicate from Admiral Zukunft, I'm pronouncing it right, that it does look like things have been reinstated, but we're taking nothing for granted. We were scheduled to go up next week, the week after, to meet directly with the two senators and the congressmen on this to see what could be done. We've already been in touch with their staffers at their offices to let them know what our positions are. And it's a talk about an immediate and a devastating impact, not only the Coast Guard and the families, but ultimately the St. Mary's is very short order. So sometimes our attention gets distracted quickly on some things that are vital for St. Mary's. And, John,
was assisting with that, but I will keep you advised of that. We are poised to go on a moment's notice if we have to, if that situation starts to rear its head again, and we will go visit every congressman that we have to make sure we can help avoid that if we have to.
Reminder to council, there is an emergency operations training on Friday. This is the training that was announced right after Hurricane Matthew. Information is distributed. I'm not sure who is attending. That's all I know.
I am.
I am. Everybody was invited.
Yeah, everybody.
Mandatory, it said.
Almost, yeah.
Well, it's not in the sense that if you don't go, goodbye.
I won't be there.
Uh-oh.
It may not be either.
It's not, but it is something that is very important if you understand the emergency response for hurricanes. And this is free training offered by FEMA.
Is that all day?
It's all day.
It's all day. Whoa.
I think out of fairness to the citizens, we need to try to find some solution. I know your report is very long and everything, but I do think it puts a little damper on our feelings, our desire to be as transparent as possible, not to have a report, you know, available.
That report is an extra report that I provide to the council. Now, I give up my Saturdays to try and get that report done.
Well, I wonder if there's, I want.
If there's a problem with the report and council says they want it sooner, I will readdress my schedule. But that means something else doesn't get done.
Well, I just wonder if there isn't some possible solution, because I understand your frustration, but I also understand the frustration.
I'm not frustrated. I provide the report in as timely a fashion as I can. If I can get it done sooner, it gets done sooner. If I cannot, because of time constraints placed on me, it doesn't get done quickly. Most important to me is that agenda that comes out to council.
Then maybe we should go just back to a verbal report like you were doing before.
I always do a written report, whether it's verbal or oral. I always write the report down. I can go back to my first meeting with council and pull that report up right now.
Well, there was a time, speaking of the agenda, just to kind of tag on to Lane here, with regard to the agenda, it used to hit the newspaper on Wednesday evenings. So it was published in the Thursday hard copy newspaper. I don't know when that changed.
The newspaper changed their time frame for when we had to get information to the newspaper. We are on a weekly newspaper. What day do we have to get that in?
On Wednesday, but they notified us last year along with all the other entities, or actually 2 years ago, that we do not pay for them to run the agenda. They had clearly stated to us several times that they run it if they have space, but we do not pay for it. And with their budget being cut and a lot of things have now been said from Adina that they run it if they can. So we send it to them on Wednesdays, but they told us since we don't pay for it, if they can put it in there, they will. If they don't, then they won't run it.
I just really think that we're in service to our citizens, which is the only reason we're not here to serve the staff. We're here to serve our citizens. So in the vein of serving our citizens, we should then maybe set up a hard stop that on Wednesday or Thursday, close of business, the agenda is set, period, end of story, unless that agenda needs to be changed because the item that needs to be added reaches to the level of being a special call meeting. Other than that, set a hard deadline earlier than Saturday morning. Just a suggestion.
Well, I think, let's go back to what Madam Clerk said, that they put it in there at their own will, not because we submitted it.
Let's forgive the newspaper. Let's forget we never publish another survey, another agenda again. My suggestion is that we come up with a hard stop during the week, other than Saturday morning, to have the agenda set and published via email like Deborah does, and then we go from there.
What is the current program?
I think it has to be set in Wednesday.
Per the ordinance or?
What are we doing currently?
Currently on Wednesdays, the agenda is sent to the legal organ. Is sent over to them, and then Wednesday night we try to get it out to council. Once the legal organ, which is under the law, we're required to send it to them. Once I send that to him, them, under the law, it's set. Anything after that point that I send to them must be amended. And that's why you all get the date. So once I send it to the legal organ, any agenda that we change, I then have to resend it to them, and it has a new date on it to let them know. And I also put added, so you all will know that it's been added. But once it's sent to the legal organ, you know, whatever their specifications are, it's now set by law. That's, and anything after that must be amended and then approved by council.
That doesn't speak for Mr. Nutter, but I think the clarification is, when it's done, that don't you issue the electronic notification to us of the agenda and the package?
No, at that point, when I have the agenda, I don't have the items for the packet.
Right, you have the agenda, but you issued that on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yes, yes.
Okay. So the agenda is issued electronically on Wednesday.
Yes.
We don't have a hard copy until you have all the backup ready.
Until I have the documents, or Mr. Holman lets me know, or if he says, Deborah, you know, go ahead and put it out, or I don't have it.
That's why there's a question, when we get the package.
Yeah.
I think, but the, I'm not sure if you've got a distinction between agenda and agenda and package.
No, I understand perfectly well that on Wednesday, the agenda is set for all intents and purposes, unless there is an item to be added or amended or whatever, at which time another agenda needs to be issued. I also understand that all the material to support that agenda generally has to be in Deborah's hands by Friday morning so she can collate the package and have it ready for pickup on a Friday afternoon prior to the city council meeting.
Well, sooner if we can do it.
Sooner if we can do it. But generally as a rule, Friday afternoon, we have that. My suggestion is that we use those hard-top targets of Wednesday afternoon to set the agenda. It's not added to or amended unless the item reaches the level where it's considered a special call meeting action item. That then allows a day, day and a half to collate all the materials, including the manager's report, so that you're not working on a Saturday.
I don't care about working on a Saturday.
I understand.
But I do put out a correct report that is accurate. And that is the most important thing to me.
We should probably move into considering ending the meeting. We're all in great nerves.
No, I think we need to finish the conversation.
I think it needs to be said.
I think we need to finish the conversation. So, to be clear, Friday, Wednesday you issue the electronic version. That's done, right?
Yeah, to the legal.
And that's current? I don't see any change required for that.
For those, say that again, I didn't hear the last.
I don't think there's any need to change that. Is there? Council?
No.
Right.
No, it's required.
So when the package is ready, what Bob would like to have done is that once that's issued, nothing can change on that, and then for that agenda is complete. Now, I guess based on the experience of staff of how items come in after that agenda is formally set is a question. And that would mean we'd have to wait another 2.5 weeks to add items, which sometimes are critical.
Yes.
So we need to have some flexibility.
Absolutely. I'm not saying we don't, John, and I'm just saying that if an item raises to the level of having a special call meeting, or it's an emergency item, or it's something that is felt needs to be added, by all means, certainly add it. I'm not saying that it has been concrete that you so walked in that we do it the way that it's our time.
Well, I think the question is, you know, our agendas don't get augmented with multiple items. There may be one or two items that are added on a regular basis because we don't realize they're coming up, or we can't get the data in time. To have it on the agenda it is absolutely the right thing to do, Bob. I'm not questioning that. It's just being able to augment that if we have critical items without going to special call meeting when we can add it to an agenda that's important that we discuss it. I think we need to stay flexible.
I agree with you 100%. But I do not think material needs to be added to the agenda at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday for a council meeting.
Well,
that's all I'm suggesting.
If council wants to bring up an item on the agenda for next meeting to talk about how this agenda should be handled.
Council has a right to bring up an agenda item when you're discussing the agenda at the meeting. You have the right to insert an agenda item at that time if you wish to.
Yeah, I think we start out with a discussion on the manager's report that's morphed into now what the agenda is. And I think that the issue that came into the agenda today at 3:00 in the afternoon was one that the city manager said, I screwed up and I forgot to put it in when I put the stuff up front. So, yeah, and if one of us objected to that, or any of us objected to it, we could have brought it up at that time and delayed that to the next meeting. So I don't think that's the real issue that's being discussed. It goes back to the manager report that one of the citizens brought up that she liked to see before she came to the meeting to formulate questions. So I don't know how we got onto it. So that's my
two cents. I would be concerned about abuse of the process. I think that we don't want to get complacent where it becomes a regular basis. We have 5 or 6 items added every time. I don't think that's the case, but we do have items, I think, that are important for resolution in a timely fashion. And so staying flexible, and if I think if you want to bring this up for discussion or a line item on the agenda for the next meeting to come up with a different process, we can do that.
I really don't want to get in the weeds that much, okay? It's not up to me to manage the city to that degree. I just think that the concerns that we've voiced up here, the concerns we've heard from the citizens who we serve, should be addressed in a timely fashion. End of story. End of sermon.
All right. Council? Any more comments?
No.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Holman. We appreciate it. All right, I'd like a motion.
I'm doing it today.
Second.
Aye.
Opposed?
Everybody leaves. You hear the bells go off.